last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Bush is dancing with his daughter. The strap falls down, and her teat comes out.
Really?
I'm telling you that for 2 seconds.
Wow.
Bush's daughter's teat.
Oh, my goodness.
Was hanging out there.
Really?
And I'll tell you something else.
Not bad, huh?
Nice looking teat.
Wow.
But for the record, George Bush's daughter is a topless dancer.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, welcome to our show,
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live, 4 hours every weekday, from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C., broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down.
Oh, really?
Who would you do call?
What?
Don't call to play the name game.
No,
no calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
Nice.
The Don and Mike Show.
Why should I? Why should I be happy about being a
The Don and Mike Show. You can get it.
Oh, really?
And Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I fold my hands and softly say, thank you, Phil Hochberg, for the life I have today. Ladies and gentlemen, son of the Almighty, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Hey, what do you say, man?
Hey, you make fun of Phil, but he had a big morning.
Oh, I don't make fun of him. He's the son of God, but what did Phil do?
He was on the E! Channel's Fashion Emergency and did an entire makeover on Joan Rivers' uterus. It was fun.
Oh, my God.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Superb Owl and all the ships at sea. Hey, ladies, they'll crack your Kowski wide open. John Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Superb Owl, you're still doing that S-U-P-E-R-B?
I'm staying with it. That's going to be the joke of the week.
O-W-L.
They're going to cotton to it.
Who?
That's right. The Superb Owl.
There you go. Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, nationwide, syndicated via the auspices of Westwood One. New episode coming at you on Tuesday, Jan 23. Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Thank you, Timmy. Our phone number remains unchanged. 877-365-3636. Elvis says it best.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to our world.
Indeed, welcome to our world.
World of spoods.
Won't you come on in?
Welcome to a world where everything smells like
root beer.
Miracles.
Yeah, and it's not the good kind of root beer either.
No. Not your name brand.
It's kind of a rancid root beer.
Yeah. I'm not talking A&W. I'm not talking Bart.
Listen to my heart.
I'm not even talking Cragmont. I'm talking root beer gone bad.
Leave your cares.
It's Tom Gavin's root beer. But we enjoy it.
Welcome.
And of course, the best thing is, our root beer is built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
You know, as I gave you that little point.
Yes.
Just because I didn't know if you knew.
I like it.
You got it.
You're like a band leader.
You got
when you
the
do
schedule
that.
Down.
You kind of give me the point, and I took it from there.
It's your day.
I don't do that thing that you do because you're better at it than I am when you run right up to it and you can, like, throw a million words in there. I have to kind of do it a little more rhythmically. You can talk right up and go, build with your mind.
But nonetheless, great job. It's your day.
Thank you very much.
Today's your day.
And I enjoy talking up. I just don't do it as well.
Muzz, you play your cards right, and someday maybe you'll get a day too. Hello.
Maybe.
Don and Muzz show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. We will occasionally do this. We have stuff to talk about, but let's just try diving into the phone.
I should mention, this is when you decide to do this, it is potentially a lethal thing for the show.
It could be
a
disaster.
We've done this before, and it has actually resulted in an entire program on a first call. I've been here. I've seen that happen before.
Hello, you are on the air.
I don't know why I am, though. I just asked a quick question.
Hold on. You don't know why you're on the air. Did you call our radio show?
We're on.
Yes, I certainly did.
Okay, that's why you're on the air. How may we serve you?
Well, I kind of figured Buzz might be out. Even though he's slow on the computer, I thought he might be able to get a search engine going and find something for this.
You don't own a computer, sir?
No.
Listen, how can we help you?
I was trying to find out. I've heard rumors. I don't know if it's like one of those urban legends or anything else.
Excuse me. What is playing in the background there?
Oh, that's kids' TV. Sorry. Not radio.
Okay, what can we do for you, please?
What I'm trying to find out is it's either the Naval Medical Center or one of those hospitals that'll actually purchase testicles.
You're going to sell yours?
Yeah.
Why?
Trying to find out.
Why do you want to sell your balls?
Well, I've heard that you could actually sell one for $15,000 without any detrimental.
So everybody like me, I didn't expect this call to have this kind of potential.
Yeah, it's a good start,
there you go.
Really.
A wonderful first call.
Yeah. Very nice. Now, listen, no offense, having just spent the last 2 minutes on the phone with you, I think that you might be overvaluing your balls. You know, that maybe if the average nut goes for $15,000,
right,
I would say maybe yours would be worth $75,000.
Well, I'd go for the 75.
Based on what I've heard here.
Is it 15,000 for the pair?
No, single.
Oh, it's single.
Well, then can't you still bother a kid with one?
Yes. I've already done that, been there.
So you must be, let me just see if I'm following you here. You are so desperate for, have you sold blood?
It's not that much money. I mean.
Are you unemployed right now?
No. I don't suck off the government, not on welfare, any of that good stuff.
But you need money. You need cash.
What do you need $15,000 for?
Basically, catch up on the bills.
Of year.
And in the last 3 weeks, I've had both my cars basically implode. One blew an engine. The other one, the front clip just fell off of.
You know, January is probably the worst time of year to have that happen.
However, this is
Merry Christmas.
This is a very, we're hearing now from a very desperate man,
mm-hmm.
a man who has called us wondering if, in fact, he could sell his ball. Now, if you could sell your ball, well, let's say that there's a market for this.
I think there is, though.
Who's the market?
I think it's people injured in the military and different things like that who haven't fathered a child.
Is anyone aware of any testicle transplant surgery out there?
I've never heard of this before.
I haven't either. Where they replace it? Like if you get yours kicked in a soccer game, they're going to actually pop a new one in there for you?
There you go. A lot of people right now have like false ones.
That's true.
No.
I've heard of that.
I've heard of that, but I've never heard. I mean, it's not like
they replace it.
Screwing in a light bulb. When a light bulb goes out, just finding another one and screwing it back in.
I've heard about the false ones. When you have testicular cancer and they have to remove one, they put another one in you don't look like a, single ball.
Yeah, but if you wanted to put some other guy's ball into you, I mean, aren't there like tubes and stuff inside you that you'd have to
connect it to?
You'd have to hook it up to.
I would assume so.
Yeah, you got to be hooked up.
And it's not like you could just slice the sack open and shove it in there.
You did it. I thought I'd get through this segment. That hurts.
You just put the guy on there, you get a razor blade,
don't you have to? I don't know if you have to connect them or not.
Well, just don't think of them.
Or do they
put them in a microwave and popping them or anything? I don't think it works like that.
Or do they just kind of
sit in there and
do they like
are they free floating?
Yes, float. That's the word I was looking for. Do they float in your sack? You know, I mean,
I don't think they do, because you remember that L.A. law with Corbin Burnson when he got the twisted testicle?
No.
He actually was sitting there, and he's like coming on to this woman, and then he falls on the floor going, oh, my God. And his testicles got twisted inside the sack.
The tubes.
I mean, when you get hit in the nuts, wouldn't it make sense that if they weren't attached, if your actual nut wasn't attached to something, that if they were free-floating, the nut would just float to the other side? Right?
Well, I think they're
stationary, is what I'm saying.
I need the money, but you guys are slowly talking me out of this.
Well, you know,
really
we got a story. Didn't we have a story last week on the show about somebody who lost their testicle?
Hold on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to give myself a quick feel.
You're a better man than I am.
Any excuse. Hold on. Right here. I'm telling you.
This is so gross.
Hey, look what I'm doing.
Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, he really does have his hands
in his down his pants. Mm-hmm.
Look, just one hand. I'm telling you something. Well, first off,
I couldn't do that.
First off, they're a handful. I'll tell you that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
they're a handful. I can barely get them both in one hand, but they sure do feel.
Okay.
Like
stop it.
Like they're a. Attached.
Yeah, you can.
I could put my finger right now between the two of them.
You're really. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up right now.
You can't switch them.
Let me see.
No.
See
no be careful. Be careful, please.
No. You know what?
Right.
You're right, Buzz. You can't.
I don't think so.
I don't think you can switch them.
You can't switch
them. I think right stays on the right, left stays on the left.
Oh, that's gross. He smelled his fingers.
I found an answer. According to a transplant surgeon, testicles are not transplanted.
Well, there you go. Well, then who would possibly want you? Where did you hear this, sir? Was somebody playing a game with you?
It was just one of those local radio stations around here.
Oh.
Gotcha.
So I got suckered in.
All right, well, there you go. Oh,
that's
jumping
too bad.
On a dream, but again, Don and Mike, save the day, answer the question.
Thank you. And it was a wonderful opportunity for me to fill myself up on the show.
And let me tell you something.
And I eat a little less dinner because of it. So.
With calls like this, we ought to take a first call every day on the show.
No, don't take the chance.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, you have a good day, boss.
Goodbye.
Take care.
Bye, boss.
Bye, pal.
The Urban Legends website has an FBI warning. It's a bogus warning from the FBI about a gypsy testicle snatching ring. So you may want to
I think we may have had that story on the air at one point.
Hey, look at that.
Jesus Christ.
The critics love snatch.
Sneak up and steal his testicle when he is not looking.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don?
Yes, hi.
Hi, I can answer your question.
What question do I have?
Well, if... one testicle can father a child. I just had that happen.
No, I did not ask that question.
No, we already concluded that on our own. I believe Buzz said yes, it can.
Yeah.
And the second is how...
No. You understand. I hate to be a stickler here, but once we say that, shouldn't you say, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about something
else? I apologize.
You just steamrolled right ahead with your point without any thought to what was said.
I never said that. I never asked that question.
Well, you asked how it would hang in the sack.
But that's not the question you just answered.
No, I had two parts to that.
But you billed it as an answer to the question.
No, I apologize if I did.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my brother.
Yes, hi.
I have a question. If a man was to transplant an African-American testicle into a white man's body, could he father colored children, possibly?
Beautiful question and beautifully phrased. Let me guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Duke on the phone.
Let me guess where you're calling from. Okay, I'm going to give it. I'm going to say, and I don't think it's 100% this guy's from South Carolina.
No, it could be anywhere in our local area, too.
I'm going to bet. God damn it. Either from.
I'm going to get a wild card. I'm going to say Sacramento.
Get it? Sacramento.
Mm. You know what? I'm going to go. Our brand new affiliate, Fargo, North Dakota.
You got it.
Wow.
You're from Fargo?
No.
Now, where are you from?
I can't reveal the information.
Well, no, just like the area you're listening in.
Around Kansas.
Oh, Wichita. Oh,
Wichita. Oh, there you go, Buzz. No. There you go, Buzz. Hi. One of your proud Wichitans.
Hi, friend.
Wichita, representing strong on the Don and Mike Show.
I'll hold for my prize.
To answer your question, I do not know if you were to take an African-American nut and put it into a Caucasian man, if you would have, if you so nicely put it, a colored baby.
And I will add on to that, the point is simply due to the fact that we've already established that testicles cannot be transplanted.
There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Did you guys catch any crap from management for offering that guy $2 million to get the secret song last night?
$1 million, sir.
It ended up being just $1 million. Yeah. And no, we didn't. However, when I came in today, two people from the business office both said to me, well, first, one of them was J.O. Joan.
Mm-hmm.
She came up to me and she said, hey, I was on my way home and I had to get out of the car to pick my daughter up. did you actually give that guy $1 million? I said, no, not a chance. And then someone else pulled me aside and said, you guys really, you know, that if in fact he had guessed the song, he would win $1 million.
Yeah, technically, yeah. We would have to come up with the $1 million.
Right, no duh. But and, it's like, it's playing poker. I mean, yeah. We had in our hand, we had not only four aces and a straight, we had all 52 cards in our hand.
Uh-huh. I think so. I think if you're going to, but you know, you it still, to me, shows a great deal of courage. Because you never know.
Oh, no, I knew you, that guy.
But you never know if the guy, I mean, I'm just talking luck. Where, you know, even an idiot, you know, the blind squirrel finds a nut, where all of a sudden he just throws a guess out.
There's so many songs, though.
I know.
There's so many songs out there. What would you have done?
You better be careful, because someone will play dumb for a while and come up and bite you.
Now, listen, see, man, me and Mike been doing the show long enough. We know when it's a naturally occurring phenomenon. And that guy, that contest player late in the show yesterday,
right?
He was the real Megillah.
Sure.
I mean, he was really nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He was great.
Yeah, I mean, you know it because you get them and they're real.
I would have made the same wager with the first call we took today.
What would you have done if you had it? Right. But I mean, what would be the game plan?
Well,
the game plan would have been going down the hallway to Alan's office and bursting into tears.
The game plan would probably be that, well, I would have been fired for sure, and probably you would have been fired for sure, too.
Yeah, well, that would have been a drag. We get on somewhere else, though.
Yeah, we would. Oh, sure, yeah. We would. Yeah.
The company would be mad, and then we'd just we'd use it as our signature.
Yeah, right.
The DJs gave LA $1 million.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, what can I say? We're playing poker. And we won.
You did.
We won. Thank you.
All right, guys, thanks. I think I know what that song is, so you might hear from me later.
Right.
All right, make sure you play dumb.
Sure you do.
All right.
All right, goodbye. Bye. See you.
Bye.
Hello. We have to say is that when they do remind you that's when they come down there and go, hey, that was terrific. Don't do it again.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
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 Calling from Bakersfield. Hey, I haven't heard what the Super Bowl bet is this year.
I don't think we have a Super Bowl bet, do we?
You only got a few days left.
You know,
no, we don't. We do bets that are more significant than that.
Well, frankly, we don't. You know, no offense to either the Ravens or the Giants. I mean, I guess
more significant than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I'm a big Giants fan, and I don't want to bet on it. I don't want to jinx it.
And you know, frankly, I don't care enough about either team. I mean, I guess I'm rooting for the Ravens. Basically, mm-hmm. That's who I root for.
But we bet on. We don't bet on Super Bowls.
Well, like a Raven fan and a Giant fan, you got to have a bet.
Yeah, but I'm not really a Ravens fan. I mean, it's just I root for the Ravens because they're the team that's closest to where I live.
And frankly, when it's a sports bet, I like to bet on things to make it interesting, and I don't have to make this game any more interesting. I've been rooting for the Giants since I was 5 years old, so I mean, this is going to be an exciting Super Bowl.
The best bets for us are the naturally occurring bets, where we both really feel very strongly. Mm-hmm.
The classic bet would be
something.
Mark McGwire, Sammy
Sosa,
which we were on top of. I think
I loved it.
That was
loved
3 months before the press really got into it.
That's right.
Yeah, no.
That's the first thing I thought of when those two teams made it is, man, you got Baltimore right there where you guys are at. You got New York. Yeah. You guys play around sometimes. I thought you had
I think the Super Bowl gets enough hype. To
yeah, and BFD. I mean, sorry. I mean, I would bet, Mike, if it was, it couldn't be because they're both in the NFC, but if it was like, if the championship game was, the Packers.
Yeah, your
the
favorite
Giants.
Team. It was your favorite team and my favorite team.
Then
we'd have bet. Right, absolutely.
Why don't you bet on the Super Bowl commercials?
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite commercial.
I'd like to make a bet right now.
Go.
This will be early, but I'll bet you I do this every year.
What?
The Red Sox are going to the World Series this year. And I mean it
Dodger,
this year.
Go Dodger Blue.
I'll do something if they don't go to the World Series.
You shave your head?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Write it down. Wow. I'll shave my head.
I'll take that bet.
I'm writing that down, guys.
I'll take that bet.
Can it be the thing you did?
Yes.
Where you get the buzz cut all the way down to the nubs?
No, I got it shaved.
Did
I didn't
shave
get
it smooth?
I didn't get a buzz cut. I had my head shaved.
Yeah, he used shaving cream even.
I think. But if you want, I'll take the opposite bet, that the Red Sox don't go to the World Series.
I'm going to need a day to think about it.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You just said you were ready to make a bet.
Shaving a head is
Hold on. Hey, Rob, replay what he just said. I want him to hear what he just said.
Now the pressure. The pressure is being put on right now.
Real one or real two?
Tape number two.
Tape number two. Okay, listen, Mike. Instant replay.
Go to the World Series.
Shave your head? Okay, back it up.
Yeah.
Back it up.
Okay, here we go.
Wait
to
make
go.
A bet right now.
This will be early, but I'll bet you I do this every year.
What?
The Red Sox are going to the World Series this year.
Oh, no.
And I mean it
Dodger,
this year.
Go Dodger Blue.
I'll do something if they don't go to the World Series.
Shave your head?
Yeah.
Well, now wait a minute,
well,
you.
Well, now,
hold on a second.
Well, listen, I'm certainly no lawyer, but that sounds like a binding agreement to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
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 Deal.
It's a long way off.
Deal.
October's a long way off.
Oh, but they could be out of the pennant race by August.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
The day that they're mathematically eliminated.
Right.
Would be the day that I would ask the head be shaved.
That's fine.
Although, you know what?
Yeah, they're...
I'll give you the same leeway that Stossel gave me, because remember I got mine shaved earlier than I was supposed to?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I'll give you leeway on that.
Okay. All right, then it's a bet.
It's a bet.
And you have to shave yours if they go to the World Series.
If they go to the World Series, I'll shave my head.
Fantastic.
That's our bet.
That's a good bet.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I've suffered with them every year. I suffer with them every year, mm-hmm. So what the hell? It doesn't matter. You know, this is going to make it so much more painful. But, I mean, I'm used to that kind of pain.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great.
January 23rd.
It's going to give me a reason to actually be interested in baseball this
year. Well, see, that's good. Then I've done a good thing. I've done a very good thing.
Excellent. All right, well, write that down, Head.
Already done.
Okay. There you go.
You guys, the only show in town talking about the World Series the week before the Super Bowl. You guys are great.
Right. Thank you.
Well, see, everybody's talking about the Super Bowl. Exactly. Here we are talking about the World Series. I think that's what makes us different.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You know, my brother-in-law, Paul, and my nephew, Mike, sent me a belated Christmas present, and I opened it up, and it was a Manny Ramirez jersey. So, that's why it was on my mind.
Gotcha.
So that's it. Got and you know what? I'll wear that jersey if I have to shave my head.
Get your head shaved.
That's right.
Hello.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Just remember what a good look that was on me.
Oh, my God.
And remember how that is the gift that never stops giving.
That's because, a good 6 months.
Yes.
That's 6 months of, you know, the only thing is I've had it, you know, when I went down all the way, but I've never had the smooth look.
Remember, I had a very short haircut also for a long time.
I know.
There's a big friggin' difference.
I know. And you know what I'll do? I'll try to go out and get as much sun as I can so that when you shave it. Yeah, listen to me. There's a Red Sox fan right there. When you eventually shave my head, it'll be like Snow White up on top.
Jesus. Hello.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Yes.
Hey, today's my birthday, and I had a special request.
Yes, sir.
Since it's so near the Super Bowl, can you play that Sam Ellis song where the guy's going, quarterback, ack, ack, ack?
Oh, no, come on.
That's ancient.
I don't want to hear that Sam Ellis song.
Oh, come on.
No, come on, get out of here.
It's so jive-ass, though. It's funny.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
Excellent. I'm glad. You guys are talking about shaving heads and such. Well, I just wanted to let you know, I was driving by Ballston just a few minutes ago, and it made me think... when we're talking about testicles, et cetera, that I've had some friends who've had testicular cancer.
Yes.
And one of my buddies has fathered a child, plus the big thing, he had a prosthesis implanted for ballots.
Mm-hmm. All right, so but I think we knew that, right?
I love it when you say ballots. Like, what, he's going to fall over if they don't put the artificial one in there?
Well, no, but it doesn't look right if you got just one.
Did you say ballot? Did you say balance or ballast?
Balance. No, a little bit of both.
Balance, right? B-A-L-A-N-C-E.
Yeah, I thought he said ballast, which is like when you throw it off, like when you're up in one of those hot air balloons, you throw a sandbag over.
A little ballast for a submarine, you know.
All right.
He did say
ballast. Oh, he did.
Yes.
All right, okay.
All right, goodbye. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ballast. You see the guy going, oh, he's going over. He's going over.
Right. He had testicular surgery last week.
Don and Mike show.
Okay. I thought he said balance.
I know. Yeah. Jesus. Ballast. Hello.
Hello, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
How you doing, bud?
Hey.
Hey, I just did a quick search on testicular
what was
transplant.
That?
The testicula. And which I'll shave mine if the Red Sox do get into the World Series.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yes. Yeah, first of all, you can't pronounce testicular.
Testicular.
All right, now you did.
Okay, well, how may we serve you?
Well, I was going to say that I just looked up this thing, a U.S. surgeon's planned first testicular implant.
Great. Thank you very much.
So bye-bye. Try.
Thanks. Bye-bye. There you go.
Maybe that's why they want them for 15 grand.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, radio gods.
Oh, Rob, that's such a dumb joke.
It's a great joke.
How can you tell if a girl is ticklish?
How?
Give her a test tickle.
Oh, God. That's old.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Rob's
see you at?
You'll see Rob. He'll be in the upper right square.
Hello.
This weekend.
I'll take Rob Spiewak to block. Let me see. I've got Bruce Valanche and Whoopi Goldberg.
I saw that today. I was thinking of that absolute. And he looks like he does not tend to his teeth, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't tend to anything.
He doesn't tend to
No.
He probably just sits up there in his own stink.
You know two words that Bruce Valanche has never said? Toilet paper, please. That's three words. I'm sorry.
So gross.
I guess the two words he's never said are toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Never.
I was just looking at him with that big smile and those little kernel corn teeth.
Remember, we saw him on our last trip out to TV City, and there was an odor.
There was definitely an odor.
I mean, I remember that Tyne Daly was in comfortable shoes, almost like medical shoes, and then Bruce Valanche had an odor.
Yeah, we snuck onto the set of Hollywood Squares. It was fun.
Yeah. It's a real cheap
did you
looking.
Join us down there? Did you come with us on that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Where we back and watched it, and we're amazed that it really is a stacked.
Yeah,
you know, we thought they were all like in different quadrants or something.
Hello,
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are.
Radio guys, I'm calling from Baltimore. I just want to let you guys know real quick. The testicles aren't floating. Just so your listeners understand, there's a tube in the body called the vas deferens. It looks like you ever seen those ramen noodle packs when you make the soup, where you drop that brick of noodles in there.
Sure.
It kind of looks like that, and for lack of a better term, it attaches right to the pee hole, and it stores all of the your little swimmers in there. And that's how they are. They're not floating in there, but you got ramen noodles in there along with the testicles.
No, wait, are they, when you say noodles, are they plural, or is there a little...
Yeah, they're curly little tubes, but they look like the ramen noodles, and that's
How many on each ball?
Yeah.
I'm sorry? Oh, no, it's just one tube, but...
Oh, so you know what it is? It's probably like... You know those things...
Like a balloon.
No. It's like those things the guys have on the desk, that thing that has all of the brass balls, and you pull one side, and it goes... And
right.
And it makes the other one go... And it goes back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
I pictured, like, if that was a guy's nut.
Yeah.
You know those big strings that are attached to the top?
Yeah, like one single string. That's probably what it's like, going upwards.
Yes.
And they hang back and forth, and you can play that game where you can clack them back and forth, like that old toys game for the kids.
Right.
That wouldn't be too painful.
And real quick, I know I don't want to keep you guys, but I know you probably already spoke about the Golden Globes, but you saw that your redheaded girl from Sex and the City? Did you see her on the show?
Listen, is it too much to ask that you listen to the show every day?
Right.
Because I already addressed the fact that she looked like crap.
That we've already been through that, so what did you want to say,
sir? She was packing cotton that day. She was packing cotton. She had to be.
What, you think she's having her period?
Oh, look at you. See her hair? She hadn't taken a shower. She looked like definitely had her period.
Okay. All right. Listen, but I addressed this yesterday. I said yesterday, for the record, that Cynthia Nixon was not doable.
But didn't you say on the show yesterday that you would do her over Julia Roberts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do her with her period.
Oh.
Over Julia Roberts?
Over Julia Roberts.
I wouldn't do it with your testicles. Oh, God.
All right, thank you.
All right.
That's just more Dave Foley for me.
Some picture in, I don't know whether it's Us Magazine, People Magazine, where it showed all of them. They were in kind of a fashion photograph, the cast of Sex and the City. Kim Cattrall and the other brunette one is pretty attractive, and Cynthia Nixon. And Cynthia Nixon's wearing, the only one like wearing a big bathrobe, and her thigh is coming out, and her thigh just had this kind of...
Yeah.
You know,
I do her.
Modeled look. It was gross.
I do her. I'm sorry. I would.
Still.
Yeah, still.
Standing your ground on that one.
Yes. Yes. Do her with a period.
And just remember, I mean, we see her, like, at the Golden Globes and on that show when she's...
All fixed up.
She's been tended to.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, she comes walking in here. You might confuse her for Joan Rivers.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hey, you know, when you're a baby, your testicles are in your stomach. And they float down. I don't know if they connect later on, but I
think
they're in your stomach. Your
testicles drop, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, doctor.
Charles Broyhill's dropped just last week.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. That was a nice little experiment, answering the telephone rather than talking about our topics at the beginning of the show.
A successful experiment.
Yeah, thanks. Let's do a break, because when we come back, first off, we never listened to Homo Joe's... I get this wrong.
Inauguration
tapes of Homo Joe down at the inauguration. So we're going to listen to that. But when we come back, we're going to take a trip to the Dynamite Legal Library.
Very good.
To cover a couple of the hottest legal stories of the day.
Yeah, lots going on in the world of the law.
Okay,
yeah.
But first let's try to give away this money, this $500 with the secret song number 4. It's a hit song from the...
80s.
Oh, wow.
Okay? That's your clue. Be the 100th caller now. Call Lisa, 877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The recorded message you're about to hear is brought to you by Vatican Radio, the Pope's radio.
All right. Let's see what the Pope has to say.
This is Jake from Body by Jake in Major League Lacrosse. I just want to leave a message for you and the fellas. Thanks a million for everything. I'm sure you read. If you didn't read, we had a sellout this past Saturday night in Baltimore. And it had a hell of a lot to do with you guys. And I just want to thank you. And I had a great time. And everyone in that whole area knows about my sex life. But, hey, you know what? It's a trade out. I got a sellout for it. Tell the boys thanks a million, and I really appreciate the support. See ya.
Oh, there he is, the Pope.
Pope John Paul.
Body by Pope.
They love to screw until they're tired and sore. Don and Mike.
That Pope has great abadabas.
Don't quit.
Don't quit. Use my stick.
Pepper call 100.
Yeah.
All right, now, here we go. Live winner. This is the excitement of doing live radio. Here's a big winner. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I am caller 100.
Yes, yeah. Hi, what's your name, please?
Tom.
Tom, where are you from?
I'm from Towson.
Tom, Towson, Maryland, and you have won a cell phone.
All right.
Courtesy of the cell.
Got to be better than this one.
See, someone's using the noodle.
Yeah.
Cell phone, movie to sell.
Very cool.
Courtesy of The Cell on DVD and VHS and Gozing.com, the latest in advertising. The Cell, rated R, with J-Lo and Vince Vaughn, now
right.
Available to rent at your local video warehouse location. Okay, here we go.
You tapping out some Morse code there, sir? What are you doing?
It's my... Let me turn it off. Got the stupid radar detector on. But now it's off.
Never call those stupid.
No, not at all.
Radar detector can be your friend.
My lucky radar detector.
Are you you're from Towson. You must be a Ravens fan, right?
Yes, sir.
I think, I was just told that I think the mayor of Baltimore is coming on the show today.
Mayor Schmoke?
Yes, to discuss whatever lame-ass bet he's...
Mayor O'Malley.
He's made... Oh, is it O'Malley now?
Is Schmoke no longer... Yeah, I didn't think Schmoke was still the mayor. Who O'Malley?
O'Malley, yes, sir.
It's Mike O'Malley.
Mike O'Malley.
Very funny.
He's going to come and discuss whatever stupid bet he has.
Very good.
With Mayor Giuliani. So be advised, we'll have the mayor of Baltimore on. Okay, so go Ravens. We'll play you the secret song now, give you 15 seconds to contemplate it, give us title and artist, and you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Michael Bolton.
And we wish you...
Godspeed. Caller, name this secret song.
I was singing it all day. It's just one of those tunes you can't get out of your head.
Right.
God damn, it's hypnotic. The money incidentally sponsored by Main Street Title.
I'm waiting for my testicles to drop.
Yeah.
Now I'm simply making up lyrics.
For $500, courtesy of Main Street Title, what is that song? He just hung up.
Yeah. What a doofus.
He just...
And first it was the radar detector, and then he just can't control his phone.
He just hung up. I know. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Imrod Day.
There you go.
That's great.
Ick Day, Ace Fay. Well, no, I can say Dick Face. I don't know why it was Pig Latin. Well, you said Imrod Day.
Imrod Day, yes. I could say Nimrod.
Imrod, yeah. Right.
You couldn't say...
Itch Hay, Ed Hay. Om Day, Ock Fay. Jesus, Jay, effing...
Never mind. I get so scared when we do that because I'm not good at it.
Jesus, Jay, effing Fay Ice Cray.
Oh, wow.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah, that's effing Fay.
Effing Fay.
Effing Fay, you didn't even...
Effing A.
You don't have to say effing Fay. You can say...
Wait. Jesus, Jay, ucking Fay Ice Cray.
Ad Bay, Anguage Lay.
S yay.
Ami may. Own day I clay. Hat day.
Of it lay. Of it lay.
Eight gray erskay.
Yeah. Jesus J. Ucking Fay Ice Cray.
Ucking Fay Aid Cray.
Come on, Buzz.
Oh, no, I'm afraid.
It is scary.
It is very scary.
Come on, give it a try.
Well, no.
Repeat after me. Jesus J.
Only Hey Ucking Fay Itch Shay.
Come on, Buzz. Jesus J.
No, I don't want to do that.
No, come on.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay, then just how about saying, Ucfay Imay.
Ukfei Uye. Ukfei Ime. Ukfei Uye.
It's hard, isn't it?
A little scary.
Because you think you're going to slip and do it.
It's scary. Yeah. It's a tightrope.
Then we would be in a world of itch.
No, he's got the Elay Day.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, eh. We've got the Ukfei Elay Day.
It's a net.
Yeah. We sometimes, in the old days, we didn't have that net.
No.
No, we didn't.
And when Don say that is super Ucking Fay Oring Bay.
Yes, said that on the air one time.
It was a great day.
Absolutely.
It was out there and we couldn't get it back.
It was an 8 gray Ucking Fay A day.
It was. It was so, it had been so long and it was out there and it was a great moment.
Okay, now on with the Ucking Fay O'Shea. Here we go.
Ucking Fay A.
Let's go to the, to our legal page.
Very good.
Now, I should preface this by telling you, we have two legal stories we're going to look at today.
Okay.
The first story, well, you know, hold on. The phones are going crazy. Why is everybody calling now? We're done with the contest. Oh. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, I know this song.
Okay, we're done with the contest. Please call the next time.
I thought the guy got hung up on.
No, he hung up himself.
He was disqualified, so we didn't have a guest.
Oh, damn it. I know this song, man.
You're going to have to wait till the next. You have to wait till the next time.
I will call back, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Domo arigato gozaimasu.
Adway?
No, domo arigato gozaimasu. Japanese for it. Thank you very much.
Gotcha.
Domo arigato, Mr. Rabato.
Right, see you later.
Hello. My daughter loves that song.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I know the song.
I guess that's all we're getting. People think they know the song.
Well, because that guy hung up, they think that there's a space of open now.
Oh,
when, in fact, we're moving on, eh?
Oh, nay, Ucking Fay Away.
Ucking Fay Orons, man.
That's a shame.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment.
What? First, Erstfay, Ernte, Ounde, Orye, Ucking Fay, Adio Ray.
Come on, Itchfay, Orfay, Ainsbray.
I just damn.
Okay.
Okay, Edna Gray.
What?
I just wanted to thank him last week for,
Okay, hold on first.
Yeah.
It's in lay. It's a Ucking Fay us a.
Understand, eh? Ucking Fay a seed hay.
Comprende.
Utway?
Comprende.
Okay, what?
God.
I just want to thank y'all for... You were talking about going and seeing The Gift last week. Great movie. Igbe Idite. Katie Holmes.
Oh, Charlie Stossel was discussing the movie The Gift.
Yeah.
Right.
I heard.
Ucking Fay, Agate Fay. Arlie Che, Ossel Stay.
Igures Fay. Igurines Fay. Ucking Fay, Igurines Fay.
I didn't mean that, Charlie. I just used it as an opportunity to speak bad big language. Hello.
Utbe Ucker Fay.
Oh, my. Hello, Don and Mike show.
This is fun.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Peter from Springfield.
Yes.
Ani Fay.
Yeah.
Father May Ucker Fay.
Il Ray, Ani Fay. Assay, eateray. I could have said it. But they probably would have deleted it.
Right.
Because
exactly.
It's an act.
Yeah. Because they're Ucking Fay Ussies Pay.
Oh, S-Y-A. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I am caller 176.
Okay, listen. I thought people were calling for a reason. I guess they're not. Now, from our legal file.
Okay.
Let me first say that you know that we really are very fond of G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah, we have had the best time with him over the last month. It's been great.
And, I mean, we've enjoyed all, you know, 5 or 6 years we've worked with him. And the guy is not doing a show now.
No.
Because he's up in Baltimore defending himself in a defamation lawsuit, something that you and I know about.
Yeah, he's been in court for the better part of the last couple of weeks.
Now, I'm going to read you what it has in the newspaper today, because there's a story about Liddy every day in the paper.
Okay.
I would say this doesn't look good for G. Gordon Liddy.
No.
But then again, I'm no legal expert.
Yeah, you never know what's going on. I guess he's got the, you know, the legal team in place.
So now, here's the deal. Liddy is claiming that when they broke into Watergate,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he was an instrumental figure in all of that stuff happening,
right.
he's claiming that the reason that they broke into the Watergate back in 1971 or 72, whatever the frigate was,
mm-hmm.
was not to get any secrets, any political secrets.
Right.
That they broke in to take pictures mm-hmm. of an alleged prostitution ring that included explicit photos of John Dean's girlfriend, who later became his wife.
Yeah, that was the main reason for the to get all the evidence, because apparently the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, had evidence of this call girl ring, and his girlfriend was in it. That's supposedly why they were going in there in the first place.
So that's what G's been saying for, and I know I've heard him speak about it for the longest time on the show, that there is something about, you know, this whole thing that we don't know about. Well, he's got a guy who is the main source of his theory. I'm going to read you what it says in the newspaper today. Philip Bailey, the disbarred lawyer who G. Gordon Liddy says is a main source of his theory that the Watergate break-in was intended to gather information about a call girl ring at DNC headquarters, took the witness stand today and wove a tale of intrigue.
Uh-huh.
Bailey, age 57, was called to testify in Liddy's civil defamation trial. During his testimony, now keep in mind, this is a guy who's testifying for G.
This is one of G's witnesses.
Right, this is the guy, according to this newspaper article, this guy is G's main source.
Okay.
That this was a prostitution ring.
All right.
During his testimony, Bailey told of shadowy figures dressed as witches chasing him through the mountains outside Seattle.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He also recounted hallucinating that he was an alien waiting for a spaceship to take him home to the planet Alpha Centauri, and remembered getting thrown in jail because he couldn't afford a $7 tab at the Hawk and Dove restaurant in the district.
He's saying this on the stand?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, no.
All of this transpired, Bailey told the court, during a period when he was meeting with G. Gordon Liddy and a series of authors to discuss his theory that the break-in was designed to retrieve evidence that the girlfriend of John Dean was part of a prostitution ring. Let me see. During 2 hours of questioning by attorneys, Bailey often stared blankly at the courtroom ceiling and frequently trembled.
Trembled?
Mm-hmm. Bailey told jurors he took Valium to calm his nerves before testifying.
No.
And regularly uses lithium and other prescription medicines to combat depression, seizures, tremors, and paranoid schizophrenia.
Oh, my. This is the star witness?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
But Bailey mostly repeated he could not remember his conversations with Liddy or the details of claims about people he once said were involved in prostitution at the DNC. It's a mishmash. It's a mishmash of events. I cannot pull them apart, said Bailey.
Oh, man.
I mean,
who put him on the stand?
The other side, I think. I mean,
oh, the other side put him on the stand?
This is the guy that Liddy supposedly has said was his main source, but the other side, to discredit Liddy's story, it put this guy on the stand.
Oh, okay. Oh. Gotcha. All right. Well,
I mean,
you know, they don't.
I guess that's, you know, they don't. It's
they don't
bad journalists.
They don't write it like that.
Not very clearly.
Here in the Washington
Post. So it's not like Liddy's guys put him up on the stand and then all of a sudden they got this result. They put this guy up to damage G Man's credibility.
It says,
right.
Philip Bailey, the disbarred lawyer, who G. Gordon Liddy says is a main source of his theory,
mm-hmm.
but
a
the
great singer.
Break him. Oh, Philip Bailey, yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire, right. Easy Lover.
Sure.
Jesus Christ.
I like the part. My favorite part of that is that he stared blankly at the ceiling and occasionally trembled.
My favorite part is that witches chased him through Seattle.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
And that he thought he was an alien.
Oh my God. Oh my.
Well, listen, you know, good luck, G.
Yeah, hey, go. You know, we hope he wins that thing.
Yes, we sure do.
Yeah.
Because God knows that, you know, he's well, we're for him. That's all I want to say.
Sure.
That we're for him. And I read this today and I thought, oh my God. Well, see, Buzz, I wish that they would have written the story.
It wasn't clear at all.
In a way that presented that, hey, listen, this is the other side
right.
trying to And you know, incidentally, doing an excellent job of portraying this guy as a loon.
Is there anybody else that they're going to call?
I don't know what tricks they have up their sleeves.
Have they presented their case yet?
I don't know where we are in the trial, other than what was reported in the paper.
Is there anything you do know about the trial?
Just what's reported in the paper. See, I'm here while the trial's being conducted there in Baltimore.
I know. I guess you don't have a phone over there.
The other attorneys are trying to show that Bailey's bouts with mental illness made him such an unreliable witness that Liddy was guilty of negligence when he repeated his claims.
Yeah, so, I mean, if that's the only guy they got...
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I hope they've got somebody else that's a little more credible.
I mean,
he's the main source... Who's the guy that wrote that book? Wasn't this all part of a book?
Lynn Kolodny,
of course. How could I forget?
Well, Liddy did have one other source. Is after the Golden Globe Awards, he spoke to Liz Taylor. So I think we're okay.
That's fantastic.
Well, I know that G cannot comment on this because it's ongoing litigation.
His son is like doing daily updates.
Yeah, and his son calls into his radio show.
I'd love to get his son.
I think most people who are behind G. Gordon Liddy, as
sure.
we are in this, I mean, you know, I say more power to him that, you know, if he's being sued by someone, good for him for having the balls to take him on.
Yeah, he's taking him on all the way. Obviously, that's why he's doing that.
But I'd like to know, you know, who put this nut job up on the stand. Hello?
Sugar Bear, I heard his son today.
Hi, honey. You were listening to Liddy's show. What did his son mention this kook in the newspaper?
No, but it said that the prosecution was wrapping up and that the defense would start.
Oh, good. So maybe we'll get some of the more credible witnesses.
Right. See, they haven't heard Liddy's side yet.
Listen.
Right.
Okay. And that's right there. That's your problem with the Washington Post. And for those of you who think that we bash the Post only because they write unfairly about us.
Yeah, that's, you know, and we, regardless of how you feel about Watergate and G. Gordon Liddy and all that stuff, that is, and believe me, you know what side of the tracks I'm on politically, right. And your wife is,
mm-hmm.
That is not balanced reporting.
No,
you're not
no.
giving all the facts.
No.
I mean, that's obviously a witness that was designed to, you know, to damage the credibility. And it's funny. It's funny when you read about
the
guy.
I mean, it is, you know, he had witches chasing him, thought he was... An alien, and he's staring blankly at the courtroom, wrinkling, trembled. He told jurors he took Valium to calm his nerves.
Oh, God.
Before he testified.
Lithium.
And you know, as much as the Post hates you guys, they hate Liddy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. The Post, their whole, the modern foundation of the Washington Post is built on water.
But at some point, wouldn't you think if you're going to write this article, which to the untrained eye, which is my eye, implies to read this, you would think, this is the guy who gave Liddy the story. This guy is nuts.
But, of course, you don't get any detail.
They never point the fact out that this guy was brought on the stand
exactly.
by the other side.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, and they gotcha. Know exactly what they're doing when they write it that way.
Yeah, I guess they do.
All right. Bye, boo-boo.
All right, sweetie, love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Mm, bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, well, why don't you call Jason Feces and see if Liddy's son would like to come on our show to tell us.
That'd be fantastic.
His side.
I think it'd be great for anybody that listens to his show on this station and around the country where we're on the same station. Would love to hear, you know, their side of what's going on. I'd love to get a bird's eye view of this guy. You know, I hope for our listeners' sake that there's not a, you know, a spin on this. I hope that he comes out and says, yeah, the guy's, you know,
well,
kind
I mean,
of a nutcase. You know, unless he says, or they made him look like it, or what. I'd like to hear the other side of the story.
That'd be like you and I being sued and you know, you from... calls Tom Gavin, you know, as a witness, as a character witness for us.
Oh, man, it's interesting. He's up there doing battle, though.
What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ. He also recounted hallucinating that he was an alien waiting for a spaceship to take him home to the planet Alpha Centauri. Now, God damn, how does G. Gordon Liddy sit in court while this guy is basically going,
right.
I mean, how can you sit there and not just stand up and like pull your pants down and just start peeing all over the place? Just take a giant dump on the judge's stand.
Well, that's interesting. The prosecution is wrapped up, and now it'll be interesting to see if the Washington Post covers the other side.
Yeah, well,
I mean, just in the interest of balance.
The complainants, there really isn't a prosecution. It's the complainants. It's a civil case.
Right.
Yeah, well, we're behind you, G. We're behind you. I mean, he had told me a couple of weeks ago that he might be off the air a month.
Wow. Yeah, this could take a long time, but if they wrapped up the complainants part, then that's, I would say, probably over in a couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah, well, he's already been gone, I think, 2 weeks maybe already.
So it will probably go
a month,
at least another week.
Yeah, and then you got the jury has to decide. And let's face it, you know, those people on jury duty, for the most part, you know, unless, like, it's the Ray Carruth trial where you're going to be there for 3 months, hell, there are people who would rather just be sitting on their asses than going to work all day.
Absolutely. Take as long, take as much time as you need.
Right. They're in no gigantic rush. I mean, they get free food brought in and stuff.
You know what's a bummer? I mean, once again, I have to say where I line up, where I line up politically. It's kind of like, you know, this guy has done his time. Yeah, that's the one thing you look at all those Watergate guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Liddy Liddy took the fall for everybody. You know what I mean? I mean, Liddy was the only guy that kind of hard time.
He still doesn't rat out Nixon now.
Was there anybody in that entire conspiracy that did more jail time than G. Gordon Liddy? I don't think so.
No, no more.
I mean, all those other guys went to the country club prison.
No, Liddy went to that one in D.C. where
he
had
to the D.C. jail.
Set his hand on fire.
Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
So he did. I mean, you know, whether you like him or hate him, he did his time, paid his debt.
We like him. We like him. Well, F the Post. And I'd like to, maybe somebody from G. Gordon Liddy's show can call us and tell us what the deal is with this guy, Philip Bailey. Yes, Robbie?
Jason Vesey's working on it right now. He's trying to set up a lovely interview.
Beautiful interview.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that's the first item from our legal page.
That was great.
And the second item, and this would be of interest to those of you listening to us in Packerland on WNFL in Green Bay. They are starting the jury selection in Lester Burnham's trial.
Jesus, now, it doesn't look good for this guy.
Now, as bad as it looked there, with the guy saying they saw spaceships and stuff, Jesus Christ.
Go, Pack, go!
Now, there's all kinds of details that I had never read about this Mark Shimura thing. And, you know, again, innocent till proven guilty.
Of course, and you don't know what all the circumstances are, but they're giving a lot of detail, right?
But here's how the story starts. Washika, Wisconsin. Prom night, April 2000.
Oh, God. Right there, it's bad.
And a group of teenagers from a Catholic high school gathered at a friend's home.
Let's make it a Catholic high school to be even worse.
In Heartland, a Milwaukee suburb, for an after-hours party. In the basement, they secretly drank liquor, played games, and watched television. At 3:30 a.m., they got a surprise visitor.
Man, you know, put the facts together. 3:30 in the morning. Hi, kids.
Green Bay Packers tight end Mark Shimura arrived with the father of the girl who was hosting the party. The kids were impressed and asked Shimura for autographs. Everyone seemed to be having a great time.
Oh, no.
The next day, a criminal complaint and police records say a 17-year-old girl accused Shimura of sexually assaulting her in the bathroom. The father was accused of fondling an 18-year-old girl in a hot tub. Now, these are all details that we've known for the last 7, 8, 9, 10 months.
Big scandal up there.
Now, here's the latest. Key issues. Whether the girl enticed Shimura, and whether a key witness changed the story under pressure from prosecutors. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just going to read you what they have, what happened the night in question, according to court papers and transcripts.
And these are the documents that are filed.
And, you know, again, don't know if they're true, but
right.
Jesus Christ.
You know, if they concur on the facts of it's prom night, and he's walking in there at 3:30, there's potential for problems.
Hey, look there. Hey, that's chewy there.
Yeah, 3:30, because, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, you and I have gotten home at 3:30 before, and you know, when you get home at 3:30, odds are you're probably going to be a little lit up.
Hey there, how you doing, kids? Hey, it's me there, Chewy.
I've been out partying till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Your favorite talker there.
Hi, girls.
All for young girls.
God.
Okay, so, let me see. Shimura and the other guy, the dad of one of the girls, appeared drunk. She recognized Mark Shimura, the girl. Recognized him because she babysat for Mark Shimura about 5 times.
Oh, my God.
The girl said Shimura and the other guy appeared to be drunk. Shimura goofed around making calls to other Packers. Hey, how about that? Hey, girls, watch this.
Watch how heavy I am. I'm going to call other Packers at 3:30.
Hey, Brett Favre. Hey, Brett Favre. How you doing? Hey, man, it's Chewy.
That's what he did, too.
I am so effed up. This is my skull. Listen.
Doesn't that sound like he's doing that to show how heavy he is?
Hey, tell me something. Do you girls, do you like Leroy Butler? You know they're number 36 for the Packers?
Let's give him a call, shall we?
I got his phone number right here.
Yeah, I got it right here in my little wallet.
Hey there, girls. I bet you like that Bill Schrader, that number 84 for the Packers there. Oh, I got his phone number.
Oh, look at the time. It must be 4:15 right now.
Can I tell you girls something? I seen him in the locker room. Wow, what a wiener. Who wants to call up Bill Schrader, huh?
Not looking good so far.
No. No, it's not. So, Chamorro's drunk. He goofed around making calls to other Packers and then went down to the basement where the girl quoted him as saying, "You call this a party? Where is all the alcohol?"
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Chamorro invited the girl and a friend to play a drinking game called ping pong. All right, now here's how you play ping pong there. Players try to hit an opponent's glass with a ping pong ball. The game went on for 45 minutes, during which the girl said she got very drunk on vodka mixed with Mountain Dew supplied by the other guy, the dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Witnesses told police that Chamorro and the other guy drank whiskey, and the students apparently felt comfortable enough to stop hiding their drinks. The dad then decided it was hot tub time.
Oh, man.
And invited everyone outside. The 17-year-old borrowed a swimsuit, and Chamorro stripped down to his white jockey shorts.
Nice.
Oh, God. You know, I know the story's been out for a long time, but I don't remember these details.
These are details we've not gotten before.
So he gets into his underwear.
Hey there.
Hey, look at me.
I think I'm going to strip down to my jockey shorts right now, dear girls. As they got into the hot tub, one of the girls started vomiting.
Jesus. Oh, man.
The father comforted her. Apparently too much, according to court papers. Now, how can you grope a girl when she's puking?
So in other words, the girl that got groped was the same one that was vomiting?
No, this is a different girl.
Okay.
A different girl than Chewy went after.
No, I know, but I mean, the father was accused of groping the 18-year-old.
Yeah.
So this is the 18-year-old that's blowing chow.
Yes. Or the 17... Hold on. Witnesses told police that Chamorro and Gessert drank whiskey, and the students felt comfortable enough to stop hiding the drinks. Gessert, that's the dad,
right,
declared it was hot tub time and invited everyone outside.
Who wants some flapjacks right now?
17-year-old borrowed a swimsuit, and Chamorro went in his white jockey shorts. One of the girls started vomiting in the tub. Gessert comforted her.
It's okay.
Apparently too much, according to court papers.
I'm a little feel.
He reached around her waist and placed her on his lap. She later told police he placed his hand under her panties and bra and fondled her. She tried to get away and finally ran off. Chamorro's alleged victim got out of the tub, dried off, and got dressed. She went downstairs and saw Chamorro in front of the bathroom wearing a towel. She said he motioned her to come into the bathroom. He took her hand and let her in. The girl told police Chamorro began kissing her neck, undid her jeans, and pulled them off along with her underpants. You know, that's... The only thing that makes me laugh is that they refer to them as underpants.
That's right.
And I know people have called me before, giving me a hard time, said
underpants.
Why do you call them underpants? Well, I call them underpants because they're funny. It's a funnier way to say,
yeah,
you know, right, underwear.
Right.
But anyway, so pulled them off, pulled her jeans off along with her underpants. Then she was on the ground. She told police she did not say or do anything because she was very drunk and in a state of shock. The girl told police at no time did she consent to this sexual intercourse but did not know what to do based on the size of defendant Chamorro. She is 5'7", 120 pounds. Chamorro 6'5", 255.
Oof.
The girl heard pounding at the door by friends. She grabbed her clothes, ran out, went upstairs. Her friend was also crying. Later in the car, she told friends what happened. They got her mother. They went to the hospital and went to police. They got a search warrant for Chamorro's home. When told about the allegations, he said, "How could you do this?" Chamorro told police he felt he was targeted because of who he was. In court, it was argued that no DNA evidence was discovered implicating Chamorro, but a clinical exam, according to court papers, indicated evidence consistent with some object being forcibly inserted in her genitals.
Wow.
And they've got witnesses, right, that say that he was in the bathroom with her.
And the quote from Chamorro is, "I know that there are a lot of questions which my lawyers and I will answer at the time of the trial. Until then, I beg you to refrain from judgment there."
Well, and that's the same thing. You don't want to hear both sides of the story and hear what's going on. But, you know, when you put yourself in a situation, you know, for my money, you're going to ask yourself for trouble if you show up at a prom party at 3:30 and ask all the kids to hop in the hot tub.
That's not good.
That's that right there, you got some problems.
You call this a party? Where is all the alcohol? You know, and the wackiest part was, "Hey there, girls, how you doing? Hey, tell me something. Do you know who Bubba Franks is?" "Yeah, he's a rookie tight end.
I'll give him a call.
I got his phone number."
Unbelievable.
"Yeah, I do. Hey, tell me something there."
Is this supposed to, you know, I have a question about this. Is this supposed to be the house of the dad?
Yes.
So they're coming home from a night of partying, obviously,
right? Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes, they are. "Hey there. You ever watch Antonio Freeman?" "Oh, yeah.
I got his number right here."
"I got his number."
"Okay. Hey, come on over here.
Let's call him up."
"There you go."
"Hey, and how'd you like to be the guy on the other end of the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, go,
yeah,
hello, it is, hey, Antonio."
Right.
"Hey, it's Chewy, man."
You know, I wonder if any of those guys are going to testify. If he was showing off by calling, I'm sure he was mentioning names, they'd have to subpoena, you know, the guys that he called.
"Come on, I want you to talk to this girl here. I don't know her name, man, but say hello to her there."
"Hi. Can I go back to sleep now?"
"Is this really Brett Favre?"
"Yes, it is.
You're my favorite Packer."
"I'm very, very glad." "He's crazy. Acting crazy now, ain't they?"
Can I talk to you for a while more, Brett?"
"God. Unbelievable."
"Oh, no, give me the phone back there."
"Yeah, but don't judge until you hear both sides of the story."
"Right, yeah, right.
When you hear his side of the prom party with the Catholic girls."
"Gotcha."
A key witness has changed his story in the case. The guy said that he saw the girl smile as Chamorro led her into the bathroom. And then he later changed his story. He said to try to please the prosecutors to say that that he saw nothing. Now he says he's going back to his original story that the girl smiled as Chamorro drew her into the bathroom.
Well, then that makes it okay.
No, of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. But there are two sides to the case.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's also, you know, regardless of what happened.
Hey, Darren.
Right. Obviously, if there was, you know, if nothing happened when they went into the bathroom, then you don't want to see a guy. But, I mean, putting himself in that situation is just pretty dumb.
Right.
"Hey, do you girls like Reggie White?" "I got his phone number."
I'd love to know how many he called.
Yeah, me too.
And I'd love to know who he called, too. That might come out during the trial.
"Hey, Reggie, it's Chewy." "Hey, man, like, what are you doing there, Reggie?"
And it's always important to point out this is the same guy that when they won the championship refused to go to the White House because he didn't think President Clinton was a moral individual.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I can't go there because Clinton was having sex with a cigar and Monica Lewinsky there.
That's just not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We got a guy from Green Bay on the phone. Hey there.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, all this stuff that we're reading in the paper, has this stuff been out in Green Bay before, or is this something that only the rest of the country is hearing about, all these details?
No, it came out here along with the rest of the country pretty much around the same time. All the real details.
Jesus Christ.
I got Court TV on right now, but they're not even talking about it.
Oh, yeah, I think all they're doing is just selecting the jury.
Right.
Yeah, but they're supposed to have updates, but I didn't see too much. Around lunchtime, they broke in.
What's the sentiment around Green Bay about this situation?
Well, I'm a huge Packers fan. My opinion is the guy's neck was really banged up anyways, and chances are if he would have came back and took like one or two good hits, he would have been done for good. But then this came up, and it kind of looks more like he's guilty.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. So listen, what this guy's... I'll translate this for you, Mike.
It's not about the football, isn't it?
What this guy's saying is...
All I care about is if the guy can catch a ball and make
plays.
Right, right.
You know, his neck was kind of messed up, so he was damaged goods anyway. I mean, now...
It's funny that he answered the question that way when I was asking him, how do the people of Green Bay feel about the trial? Well, not whether he can play football.
If Chewy was able to still catch the ball there,
we'd be pretty broken up about it, and we'd probably say he's innocent, but since he's damaged goods, he's guilty as sin. Because he's of no use to us anymore.
Hey there. Hey, listen, does anybody in Green Bay know the players that he called when he was all effed up?
Actually, I know for a fact he called Frankie Winters up, the center.
Oh, the center. Yeah. Hey, girls.
The three amigos with Favre.
Hey, girls. You want to talk to the guy who has Brett Favre touches his ass during the whole game? Yeah, they're number 52, Frank Winters.
Always an offensive lineman, isn't it? There's always an offensive lineman near the party.
Jesus Christ. Was there anybody else besides Frank Winters?
That was the only name that was mentioned. It was in Time Magazine, actually. A big, huge article about it mentioned that.
Oh, you know, we got to do more research on it.
Probably about like a week or two ago.
Oh, we got all for research.
Lots of research.
The reason I was calling you guys... I was watching Friday the 13th Part 2 on DVD today, and in the opening credits it says the co-producer of the movie is Dennis Murphy.
He gets around. He really does. He's also a news correspondent. Right?
For Dateline NBC there.
Oh, I can see. Yeah, that'd work out pretty good.
All right, there. Thank you for the call.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, there.
Bye.
So how do the people of Green Bay feel about this?
Well, you know, he got his neck all banged up, and we was not real sure he was coming back on off IR anyway, so...
What if he was still Pro Bowl quality?
Oh, well, then that girl's a slut. And she's a liar. She's a liar.
Oh, that was a... That really said it, didn't it? That really said the way they feel about their football up there. Okay. Pretty interesting.
Now we got a guy on the phone from Baltimore who says he was in the courtroom today... In G. Gordon Liddy's court case.
Oh, very good.
Now, Dave, were you really there?
I was there yesterday when Bailey started his testimony.
Wow. Okay, excellent. Now, can you tell us, this guy Bailey, he obviously he's being brought out by the people who are against G. Gordon Liddy in this lawsuit, right?
Correct, but it didn't really help their case any.
It didn't help the people?
It didn't. I mean, he couldn't remember it. The first 5 minutes, the prosecutor went over what his prescription drugs was that he was taking now, and how long he's been in therapy, and he can barely answer those questions.
Yeah, well, but that would mean
that would help the prosecution.
That would help them.
How could that help them?
It would help because the whole reason they're putting this guy on the stand is to make him look like a lunatic.
To show that he's a nut job.
Right. Because
he was out there. It was pathetic. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in court because I used to...
Well, how can you say that didn't help the prosecution?
Because he wasn't credible at all.
Okay, but no, that...
Oh, done. Right.
Hold on. Hold on. Stop for a second.
What?
That does help the prosecution if, in fact, what they're alleging is that this guy is the guy that Liddy got his story from. It helps them to spotlight him as a loon.
Don't you understand that? You were in the courtroom.
I do understand it. And believe the testimony I saw wouldn't have dissuaded me from thinking that...
What?
It wouldn't have dissuaded me. I mean, this guy obviously was acting like it. I mean, it was like pathetic. I mean,
wait a minute now. Is what you're saying that he was pretending to be a lunatic?
It was so unbelievable that his answer, you know, that he didn't remember anything of the specifics of events.
So what you're saying is you think he was faking it?
It was so hard to tell. He had a lawyer with him.
Oh, this guy.
What an idiot. He has no idea.
God, what a moron.
Day, other may, ucker fay.
I mean, really. Yeah, he didn't do a very good job. He was kind of crazy.
Jesus Christ. Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, he used to be a bellhop out there in Madison, Wisconsin, and he was telling me that he saw Mark Chmura and Brett Favre. They both had like two young girls, one on each arm, going into the motel rooms.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, there. Okay. I just want to say going into a motel room with a non-high school girl... It's a lot different than going to prom night.
And I bet that they were probably wearing their jerseys with the names on the back of them.
Right.
As they walked into the hotel with the underage girls.
A couple of professional football players picking up women and going to a motel.
All right, Mike. Joining us now, we got one other guy who was at the trial today in Baltimore who says he can put a better slant on things that happened. Hello?
Hello? Hi, buddy.
Here he is. Here's our court reporter.
No, actually, ladies.
Oh, court report.
Ladies and gentlemen, no, I was kidding. This is Philip Macklin Bailey right now on the phone with us. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how are you all doing? This is Phil.
Phil, are you hallucinating right now?
No, I'm not hallucinating. I got some bad news for you guys.
What is the bad news?
You know the stadium store in Maryland, Jim Halsey?
Yeah, Jim Halsey Stadium Store.
They're hanging it up. They're closing the store down.
Well, Tom,
yes,
we'll let everybody in on the secret. This is not really Philip Bailey. This is Tom Gavin.
You must be very disappointed, Tom.
Yes, I'm very disappointed.
That's too bad. Well, that was a store by Wheaton Plaza, right?
Yep, that was by Wheaton Plaza.
Yeah, that's a good store. It's too bad.
Yep.
Yep.
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fine, Tom.
Hey, can you spell store?
S-T-O-R-E.
Hey!
Very close. All right, can you spell trial?
T-A-R-E. N Y.
Perfect. Tyranny. How about?
How you guys doing?
Doing great. Tom, can you spell Liddy?
Liddy?
Yeah.
L I N D Y.
Perfect.
Liddy. Liddy. Oh, you're my man.
Very good.
Tom, here's one for you. How do you spell lawsuit?
Law. L A Y. Suit. L. No, suit is S T A R Y.
Perfect. Lace theory. And could you spell prosecution for us?
Prostitution?
Prosecution. Like as a matter, prosecutor. Spell prosecutor.
P-A-R-Y-C-A-R-D-E-R.
Good. Okay, that would be Perry Carter.
And how do you spell Super Bowl?
Super Bowl?
Yeah.
S P R. Now, this is going to be a little tricky.
Yeah, it's a little tricky.
I know,
finally.
It's tricky. It's
I'll take you where you are. S P R.
S P R. Super. S P R. I N G. B A L L.
Spring ball.
Hey, Tom, can you spell superb owl?
Herb Al.
Rob, you will not let that joke go, will you?
You like that joke.
Maybe Tom likes it.
You do like that.
I do.
No. Tom, never mind that one.
That's Rob's thing.
Give me another one.
All right. Spell Ravens.
R-A-V-E-R.
Perfect. Raver.
All right. And how about Giants?
Giants?
Yes.
J-I-N-T-E-R.
Right on the money.
Ginter. Beautiful. All right. Well, Tom.
Hi, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
Are you going to bring that sweatshirt back from Tampa Bay, Don?
Oh, for you? Yes. I promise I will, Tom. Yes. What would you like?
Extra large T-shirt.
Double extra large.
Double extra large T-shirt. I'll say.
You want a T-shirt or a sweatshirt?
T-shirt.
You got it, Tom. I promise. I'll bring it back for you.
All right, everybody out there listening, T-shirts are on the press, getting dressed up. It'll be saying the Tom Gavin Monster Wars. TomGavin.com.
All right.
Fantastic, Tom. He's got a website, everybody.
Yeah, I got a website.
He's selling merchandise.
If you're listening, go to TomGavin.com and look at the Christmas pictures.
Roar if you like Tom Gavin.
All right, bye, Tommy.
Bye-bye.
Sweatshirt.
That's great.
No need to wear anything that'll make him sweat.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, oh, God.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm out in Green Bay, and the coverage on the news channel, the graphic up there, they run the coverage under, is called From Gridiron to Gavel.
Oh, from gridiron to gavel, it's a sad story about a Packer gone bad there.
Mighty clever, though. I like that.
It's tragedy.
Do they do it with green and gold?
Well, they always have a little bit of a football gridiron layout underneath there, and some green and gold worked into the letters. That's with some nice. Cool football graphics.
And a judge's gavel?
Of course.
Yeah.
And a dildo.
Well,
a bloody dildo.
They didn't say what the object was, right?
No, and you know, who knows? For all I know, he might have done there with a cheesehead there.
Cheesehead, yeah, hey there.
One of them plastic cheeseheads.
Oh, for chewing. Jesus.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, I think based on the calls from Green Bay, we've really gotten a good idea of what's going on up there.
Yeah, right. All that cares is the guy can still catch a football.
You know, he was kind of banged good. He was damaged goods, Don. So that's really what we base our opinion of the trial. If he's damaged goods, he's damaged goods. So let him fry.
Guilty.
Guilty as sin.
Who cares about that, man? I saw the coolest windsock today, though. I saw this Green Bay Packers windsock that somebody made.
Yeah.
Oh, for beautiful.
Hey, you put that up in the office, didn't you?
Yes, I did there.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
It's right in the corner.
Yes, it is. Where it will never be moved there. It'll always stay there, Mike. Okay, time out. Should we take more calls? All right, there's another call. Hello?
My name is Lester Burnham.
That's fantastic.
My name is Lester Burnham.
Okay, good.
This is my neighborhood. Okay. This is my street. This, my name is Lester Burnham.
Pretty this, funny.
Thanks, guys.
That's great.
Nice job. Thank you, my friend.
Right.
Gotcha. Good call. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Lots of nuts straight.
Mother! You blew your nuts! Mother! That is it!
That's it! What the f*** are you talking about that? To take it
yes,
out,
eh? Yes! No more! No! Not tonight! This son of beats all night! He tick, tick, tick! He tripped me!
Well, are you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Yes! Yes!
He beats me. Straight up. Pay that man his money.
It's time to squat and take a growler. It's time for Don and Mike.
Right. I love doing that. I'm good on the farts.
You're great at it.
We'll be, thanks, Buzz. We'll be at the Super Bowl Friday. Friday from Tampon Bay. Our Super Bowl show brought to you by Geico, where one 15-minute phone call can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Side note to Alan Linewand and Ken Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going if you don't give me my tickets, though.
Ooh.
Because, I take my kid out of school. It's a big deal for him to come down. I mean, it's kind of been a father-son thing that we've done for the last 10 years.
It's a tradition.
Yes, and we need tickets for the Super Bowl. But listen, I'll bore you with that later. We have right now something that I believe is a Don and Mike world exclusive.
Oh, it's great.
That a couple of days ago we mentioned on the show that Bill Clinton was going to live in New York in his house by himself, and that Hillary Clinton was going to live in D.C. By herself.
As a senator, right.
And the deal is that Clinton is living in this house by himself, and the rumor is that he's going to be answering the phone himself.
Amazing.
That while he's going to have Secret Service outside and following him around, he's requested inside the house no special favors.
Uh-huh.
So I've seen all these news reports on Fox News Channel and MSNBC, all of them saying, who's going to be the first news operation to call President Clinton to see if he answers the phone himself?
Good question.
And more importantly, is he going to be like when George Bush, the old George Bush, when he got out of office, remember when he went to a supermarket and they were scanning?
He didn't know what that was.
And he had no idea. So who knows if Clinton even knows how to operate a telephone.
You think it might be a little out of touch?
There we go.
After 8 years in the White House.
No. Bear with me for a moment.
Okay.
So we have to dial the first couple of numbers.
Uh-huh.
Then do the rest off the air.
Okay. Because we can't let out the touchstones. Not everybody can call and bother the president.
Yeah.
The former president.
I don't know if he's going to answer the phone himself.
Be interesting.
This is what the news organizations have been wondering about.
Hold on a second. Hello.
Hello, Bill?
Hello.
Wow.
Bill?
Who's this?
Don.
How are you? How are you? Is this Domino's? Hold on a second. We're having I got the stereo going right now. All right. Oh, man. We're having some fun right now.
Is this President Clinton?
Wait, hold on. Let me turn that down.
President?
I know. Hold on. Hey, turn it off. Hello?
Is this President Clinton?
Who's calling?
Don Geronimo, Don and Mike show.
Oh, how you doing, Don? Good to hear you.
Hey, who was that in the background?
Who was that?
A woman was laughing.
Nobody. I was on the TV. Huh.
What are you watching?
I was watching Policewoman. Anyway, how are you? We're just having a few friends over, and we just turned the TV off, and it's kind of loud in here. You're going to have to speak up.
I know. You know the
let me go over to the corner here. Hold on a second. I'm just going to go into the bathroom and shut the bathroom door. Hold on.
All right.
Okay. All right. Who do you say you were again? Is this the pizza guy?
No, Don Geronimo. Don and Mike show.
Don Geronimo, man. How are you? I love when you do your Pope. That slays me, man. How are you? It's good. How are you?
I'm fine. Listen, you know, the media's been making a big deal about you living by yourself in the house in New York.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's lonely. You know, Hillary is taking her job in the Senate, and we're lonely as hell out here. We are. Can you hold on just a second?
Yes, yes.
I'm all by myself in the house. Hey, can you get me another drink, please? All right, thank you. Okay. What do you say?
What? Do you got some poontang there?
No, not at all. There's a maid here, that's all.
A maid?
There's a maid, and we've got several Secret Service agents, but we're actually, I'm here in the bathroom, and it's just kind of quiet. We've got several people that are over here helping me write my memoirs. Yeah, that's the ticket.
You know, the...
write my memoirs. That's what I'm doing.
The story in the newspaper was that you were going to have to answer the telephone yourself, and that
right.
all of the news organizations were having, like, a pseudo contest to find out who would be the first to find your new phone number.
Right. Well, I guess you did, because I haven't spoken to anybody from the... can you excuse me for just a second?
Yes.
I haven't spoken to anybody from the news media. Hold on.
You win, then.
Hold on just a second. Okay. Okay. All right. If you're in the bathroom, you might as well use it.
You know, I'll tell
okay.
you.
Okay. Don, how have you been?
Listen, let me tell you how I figured out your phone number.
Yeah, how'd you figure it out?
Okay. You know how you can take numbers and you come up with combinations of words?
Right, yeah.
Okay, now.
Oh, no, you figured it out.
Right.
Oh,
now.
You are a sly one. You are a
now.
Sly dog. I can't believe that.
I don't want to give out the area code, but Bill,
no.
Bill Clinton's phone number is 2-5-6-9-5-6-2.
Oh, no.
I came with all combinations.
You did? Okay, go ahead. I'm going to change it anyway now that you did that. Go ahead. Tell me what it spells.
What does it spell?
It spells blowjob.
You're killing me. You are so damn funny. That's why you're my favorite radio show. I'll tell you that right now. I listen to you all the time. I'd sneak off and have to listen to it. Hey, have you done strip trivia at all in the year 2001?
Not yet.
Oh, I'll tell you, that's fantastic. But, you know, I'll tell you, there was a lot of talk last week. We were getting prepared to leave the White House and a lot going on. But let me tell you right now, Genitals for Jamaica is the slap nuts funniest thing I've heard in a long time, man.
I like that.
I also heard you want
to... Were they really naked? Did they show you their cooters?
Yes, those girls did.
That is fantastic. Can you just excuse me for just 1 second, please?
Yes, yeah, sure.
All right.
Hey, could you put those pretzels in here? Yeah, just give me the bag of pretzels. Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay, I'm back in here.
Who's your call, sweetheart?
Man, boys got to eat. You know, I tell you, the pizza service up here at Chappaqua is absolutely ludicrous. Takes like 2 hours to get yourself a medium pie.
Now, who did you call sweetheart?
Oh, I call everybody sweetheart. It's a Hollywood thing. It was one of the Secret Service agents.
Really?
No, not really. I can't lie to you. It was a girl. It was a young girl.
And
it was a young firm girl.
Really? Where did you meet this young firm girl?
New York City. I went in Sunday night.
Wow. Where'd you go, Hogs and Heifers?
I went down to Hogs and Heifers, which is going to be my regular place, but I wore a disguise.
Okay.
I wore a Santa Claus beard. And nobody knew it was me. I put on a hat, and they just thought I was some kind of wino. And then when I took this girl back in the back room,
yeah.
and I took the beard and I pulled it aside, and I said, it's your president, or at least your former president. She went nuts. We went back to Chappaqua. Says, no one's here. I'm partying. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Hey, give me the bugle. I want the bugle. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Fantastic. Hey, you know, they still make bugles up here.
Oh, you mean those little corn chip things?
You like bugles?
Oh, sure I do.
They're fantastic, man. It's great snack food. I like it better than corn chips.
When's the last time
pretzels
you talked?
Are good, but I like Bugles the best.
When's the last time you talked to Mrs. Clinton?
Who? I'll tell you right now, man. I hope not, but seriously, let me just close the door a little tighter here. Hold on a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I think Hillary will do a great job as the United States Senator from New York, and she's a wonderful lady, a good wife, and I love her very much, and we've agreed to live these separate but equal lives as long as she cares to be in the Senate. That means it's 6 years of party time for me. President's got a woody. Okay. I tell you, we're so excited about this right now. How are you, Don?
Is it President Clinton?
Yeah.
Did you see the report on the news when Bush was dancing with his daughter and her boob popped out?
Did I see it? I videotaped it.
Oh, you did?
I burned it onto a DVD. I got all the very latest technology here. You know, I can actually make my own stuff. I've got every Andrew Blake film that I couldn't watch in the White House because, you know, people are poking around. I have a bedroom that is wall-to-wall pornography.
Hey, what do you think about those reports that the Bush team, as soon as you left the White House, they had the whole place, like, fumigated and they steam-cleaned the carpet?
Like he's never done anything. Like he hasn't done 15 lines on his governor's desk, okay, while he's getting a Hummer. You see that woman he's married to? Come on now. He's done bad things, too. I bet he farts in there a lot more than I do with all that barbecue. I'll tell you right now, I bet he's farting right now as we speak. Fumigate. I'll tell you right now, I kept that place clean. Let me tell you something. Anything sorted that went on when I was in that White House,
yeah,
I would clean up thoroughly afterwards with a presidential towel.
Let me ask you a question we had yesterday on the show.
Yeah, far away. Hold on just a second. I need to keep interrupting.
That's
you.
All right. That's okay.
That's the ginger ale. Ginger ale. You put a little Jack Daniels in there. All right, thanks a lot, man. All right.
Hey, are you wearing a shirt right now?
What do you ask?
Just tell me, are you wearing a shirt?
Well, it's kind of a shirt.
What is it?
Well,
what's it like? Is it a white beater or what?
No, it's not. It's not a shirt at all.
What is it?
It's more like a top. But it's not a man's top.
Oh, no.
Can I tell you what I'm wearing?
Yeah.
I am wearing a couple of coconuts over my breast. And I have a grass skirt on. This was a gift given to me by one of those Tahitian people. And I'm wearing it right now. You know, we had to take all our gifts. I always liked it. I always kept it around. I like to occasionally put on women's clothes when people aren't watching, just for fun. So I'm wearing a coconut bra and a grass skirt right now, but it's not real glass. Grass is synthetic.
Hey, when you were the president, we had this discussion yesterday that Bush had... Bush had everything removed from your office except the desk.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, he's a fag.
And did you...
he's a big fag.
Did you ever pick your nose and wipe the boogers underneath the desk?
Is there ever any other way?
Well,
sometimes the presidential handkerchiefs get full, especially during the cold and flu season.
Sure.
I'm sure I left a few crunchies under the presidential desk, and I bet I left a few on Air Force One. He's never going to find either, especially right under the presidential bed. If he looks under there, I tell you, it's not robe. You know, because when you're at 30,000 feet and you're in Air Force One, your nose gets a little dry and brittle, and if you've got a little cold that you're battling, it's crunchy city. So there might be a nasty or two under that bed. I don't mind telling you, but that's okay. That's the least of his problems. I'll tell you right now, I cleaned up as much DNA as I possibly could before I left. I had it clean. We have people to do that.
President Clinton, do you have a satellite dish now to get, do you have a DirecTV?
I have DirecTV. I also have a DVD player. I've got two VCRs. I've got an HDTV Reddit TV set from Mitsubishi. I've got a collection of Andrew Blake videos. I've got every moment that was special to me recorded on videotape tape from one of my friends. I've got a flat screen TV in my bathroom, man. I tell you, this house is rocking.
Let me...
The one down in Washington doesn't have anything in it because I don't plan on spending a lot of time there.
Let me ask you.
Hello?
Turn on your DirecTV right now.
All right, I got it on. Hold on.
All right, go to channel 596.
Okay, hold on just a second. Let me see. Vivid TV. Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah.
That's the Vivid TV channel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, except look, it costs $10.99.
That's okay.
Why?
Billy's got a budget. Let me pop that on right there.
What do you want?
Sounds not working.
Can you tell us what you're watching, though?
I can't tell you what the title is, but I'm looking at... They're in like a little wading pool. Oh, my goodness.
What's
Look
happening?
Look at that ass.
Oh.
She is getting it from behind. That's his favorite way. She is hot, too. I don't like the guy, though. He looks a little gamey. Shower time for him.
I find this...
Come on in here. Look at this.
I find this...
Come on, with a disc jockey.
I find
this... Hey, somebody put on the porno channel. Come on.
I find this hard to believe it.
I got a couple of people in here right now. A couple of my protectors.
No, nobody else from the media has figured out that your secret phone number is a blowjob?
Candy Crowley called.
Oh, that pig.
Yeah, she somehow got it, but I told her not to call. I have got her Svengali'd like you wouldn't believe.
Really,
you see the inaugural when I told those two Bush daughters to step up to the podium?
Yeah.
See the way they responded? That, let me tell you right now, is the presidential... Oh, money shot.
Oh, okay.
Money shot.
Okay.
Oh, look at that. My goodness.
Oh, God.
You've been eating a lot of protein.
Okay.
I can't do me no do that.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Do you think that's real? Do you think they like put a tube down there or something?
Oh, I think it's real.
I tell you, it's sure amazing to me. I think they might just have some hand lotion or something that they use.
No.
That amazes me. Look at that. Wow. She just got a shower, and I'm not talking about the cleaning up kind either.
All right. Well, listen, President Clinton, as long as we've got the phone number and you're not planning on changing it.
I'm not planning on changing the phone number or my underwear for the next 2 weeks.
All right.
Bill's going to wear the coconut bra, but there are no skivvies under the president's grass skirt. I don't mind telling you. Hey, why don't you come up sometime? Come on.
You
want to come up sometime, Doc?
Yeah, well, you know, Mike and I are going down to the Super Bowl this weekend.
Oh, the Super Bowl. Yeah, I won't be going down there. Too much craziness. You know, he's supposed to go. The new guy.
Oh, right.
I don't want to steal his thunder. I just want to kind of chill out, decide what I'm going to do, have some bugles, wear my grass skirt, and watch porn. That's what I'll be doing for the next couple of weeks and having some friends over, okay?
All right, President.
It's good talking to you.
Nice talking to you, sir.
Y'all take care and give my best to your family and everybody else down there.
Oh, we will.
Okay, y'all take care.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That was the DJ. That was the DJ. Now you give me a BJ.
Oh,
I love you. I really do.
You know, we were hearing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's good to hear from him again.
And I feel safe giving out the phone number blowjob because I didn't give the area code.
That's all right.
Who knows? He might change it to AFing or something like that.
No, he said he wouldn't change it.
You just missed it.
Missed who?
President Clinton.
Oh, you got through?
Yeah.
Was it the real number?
Well, I figured out the number. I just put the numbers together and spelled blowjob.
It was the blowjob number?
Yeah, it was blowjob number.
Oh, man, that is so simple.
It was him. He was eating bugles.
Way to crack the code.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face-to-face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, we just had the Star 69 a guy back.
Okay.
And we got him on the phone now. He's not a major troublemaker.
All right.
But here's the way the conversation happened. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Call 100?
No.
The guy says, And then somebody said to him, did you hear them ask for callers? And the guy said, Coppa every hour.
That's the way it works.
And then the guy hung up. So I said, we'll call the guy back. Is this the guy?
Yeah, this is the guy.
How you doing?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, now the concept is that you listen to the show and we do contests at random times.
We don't do it at the top of every hour.
No, is that right? I wasn't paying attention to the radio right when I called, you know?
Right.
I knew that you went to a commercial, and I'm like, oh, he must have said it, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, how did these guys from New York today that are getting it on delay, how do they call in then?
They don't.
Well, they were. I mean, they haven't lately because you guys aren't back out there, I guess.
No, we are back
out. We are back out in New York.
Oh, now you are back out there?
Yes, we are.
You know, I think really
how are they calling in then?
I think the best way to approach this is you've got it all wrong.
Where are you listening to us from?
California, Northern California.
All right, so you're hearing us live.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we do a contest, we play the thing then and we say, call now. See, that's why you would have an advantage over the people from New York who are hearing us on a 4-hour tape delay.
But it's
I realize that. I just,
I heard the, I wasn't paying attention to the radio. I was looking at my paperwork, and then I heard the commercial, and I thought, and you probably called, you know.
And you told the girl that we just did the contest at the top of every hour?
Yeah, well, actually, it was a guy that answered, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't do them at the top of every hour. You're just going to have to listen a little harder.
Okay?
Got to work for it, huh?
Yeah, you got to work for it. Yeah, we do expect a little effort from our listeners.
Yes.
All right.
You think you can do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Attaboy. Thanks.
We got
another Day Uckerfay. Today is Day Uckerfay Uzday Day.
That's right. It's official.
Hey, you know, they've been turning us off out here on the lights and everything. You know, we can't get no sleep, can't get no heat.
That's good. You know, all right, you know, we can cut you some slack for that. I mean, if they're cutting your power off, nobody else in the country has to deal with that crap. So,
right.
So you're cut a little slack with that.
The Uckerfay Oling Ray Ackout Blaze.
There you go.
That is an Ucking Fay asshole hay.
Yeah, it is.
You know, paying the highest rates for 10 years, and what do? They just cut us off.
Now, can I tell you something? Right now, every light in this building is on.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it's 35 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
We're running the air conditioning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Electric.
Sure. Yeah.
I know. You know what? They're thinking they're going to figure this out, and at the same time, they're telling us how they're not going to have gas next week.
Everybody today, just for fun, everybody brought in their blenders and turned them on.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing in them, and they're still running out in the hallway.
Yeah. It's great to live on the East Coast.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yep. Like you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. See you later.
All the way up until the point where he mentioned the blackouts. It's a pretty good excuse for everything out there now, isn't it?
Hello, we just had to call him back, though, because the guy was so dense.
Yeah.
And he just hung up. I mean, we wanted to talk to him on the air.
Right.
Because he was convinced that we just did a contest every hour on the top of the hour.
Top of the hour, your chance to win.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Oh, well, now that's not nice. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Mike.
Hi.
I was calling for Don and Mike.
Yes, we're here. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I want to let you guys know. I did a guy with one ball.
This is a guy pretending to be a girl.
Good call.
That?
Good call.
Hey, I called him before, you guys.
No. This is a guy pretending to be a girl.
On a bet?
Is this Chris?
No, this is Marie from Sacramento.
You're a liar.
On a bet?
Yeah, I'll bet you.
I did.
No. I'll bet you that you're a guy.
You're going to lose.
Sing something for us.
Sing something?
Yes.
I love a
parade. I'm not a guy.
Yes, you are.
Want to bet?
Why do you keep saying want to bet?
I've already said yes, I want to bet. What do you want to bet? $10. You're a guy.
Okay, even if I was a guy.
Okay, you are a guy.
Did you hear about me doing a guy with one ball?
Can you talk in your guy's voice now?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll do it.
How's that?
No, come on.
No, I went with this guy. He was a gymnast.
No, hold on, wait. We got to cut through the charade of you pretending to be a girl.
I think you all should meet in the middle. I think it is a guy, but I also think that he slept with a guy with one ball. Why can't we compromise?
How old are you?
Get out of... All right, Dick.
How old are you?
Oh, well.
She just call you Dick?
Yeah, I suppose.
That was for Robbie.
How old are you?
I was born in 1956, which makes me older than you.
You were born in 56?
Yeah.
So you're like 43, 44?
Yeah.
Do you still get your period?
I'm old enough.
Do you still get a period?
Once a month.
All right. Once a month?
You want to hear all about it?
Yes.
That's nice and cloudy and red. Lasts for about 4 days.
Well, that's information that any guy would know. Sure.
Yeah, tell me more about it, though. Tell me something about your insides that a guy wouldn't know. You know what I mean about your insides.
You guys, I've been listening to you guys for years. You know it all.
Why are you talking in this weird voice if you're not a guy?
Come on.
Mike, it is a guy.
What about your weird voice?
Come on, talk in a guy's voice for us.
It is a guy.
Say hi, guys.
You know, this guy is just waiting for us to cave, and that's when he's going to go, hey, how you doing?
You think I'm going to say these nuts?
No, I don't think you're going to say these nuts. But I think when you speak, it'll finally be like Herman Munster speaking. You know,
Lily, hello, boys. It's me, a man.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I am more of a man than a lot of women I know, but...
What's your first name?
Marie.
What do you do for a living, Marie?
I'd rather not say.
Why?
Because I'm calling from work.
Oh, big deal. Give us a generic description.
Yeah. A general description of what you do.
Push paper around.
You push paper around. All right, so you're like in some kind of bureaucracy.
Do you shave your legs?
Yeah.
How often?
Twice a week.
What's your favorite movie, quick?
Gone with Wind.
This is such a guy. Such a guy. What brand of razor do you use when you shave your legs?
Lady Bic.
Lady what?
Bic.
Lady Bic. What's your brand of deodorant?
Hey, guys, I gotta go.
What's your favorite perfume?
I don't wear perfume. I don't need it.
Really?
How do you trim your garden?
I don't.
You don't trim it at all?
This is a guy. I mean, as soon as we start asking questions that girls would know.
Well, see, I keep asking those questions in hopes that he's going to immediately go, hey.
No, I think he's not going to go, hey, because he knows now that he's caught.
But it's no fun, even if he's caught, if we don't get the guy boys.
But he just wants to get out of it now by going, I've got to go. I've got to go now. Who makes your favorite brand of cosmetics?
I don't use cosmetics.
Really, you don't use cosmetics. You don't use perfume.
No.
What's your favorite brand of douche?
I don't need to douche.
Really? Have you ever had a yeast infection?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Uh-huh.
How do you cure that?
Infections.
How do you cure a yeast infection?
It's been a while. It was before all this stuff on the counter came out, so.
Oh, that's a chink in the armor right there.
Ago, about 20 years ago.
Really? Well, 20 years ago, how did you cure a yeast infection?
These little suppositories.
Oh. That grosses me out. You know, the laugh, obviously, you get a...
Yeah. This is a guy, I'm positive. This is a guy with a penis.
Like that, sounds like that Charlie Broyhill ape that we had.
Yeah, right.
What is buzzed?
Oh, you have it, Rob. You have it.
Let me ask you this.
This is the way this lady really sounds.
All right, what do you want with buzz?
I just wanted his opinion, then I really got
to
go.
Well, my question to you would be, did you hang up? She's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone. Out of there.
It was a guy.
He's gone.
We'll never know.
That's
sure.
My opinion.
No, I'm telling you, it was a guy.
But yeah. I want that proof. I'm from Missouri, the show me state. I wanted the guy's
voice.
No,
you're not. Was a guy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, this is Reverend Jesse Jackson.
All right, now, hold on.
That is pretty horrible.
Now, okay, here's what it says on the screen. That you want to do a Jesse Jackson impression, but the reason that you've been put through is that, supposedly, Mike,
yes,
this is the guy who does the Kiss My Bumper commercials.
Yeah, that's right. That's me. How y'all feeling, Don and Mike? What's going on, guys?
Are you really the guy that works for, and what's the name of the client that does? Because I know the name of the client.
Senate Insurance.
Senate Insurance.
Now, what's your real name?
My real name is Howard G. I'm a professional comedian.
All right, Howard, let us hear your signature line from your famous commercial.
All right. Kiss my bumper. Just kiss it.
See, you know, a lot of guys could do that, but it's pretty credible.
Yeah.
Tell us the plot of your favorite commercial where you say, kiss my bumper.
The plot of the one that's playing now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, it's like I'm having a dream, and I'm imagining who would take my place as the kiss my bumper guy. And so the first guy is like a nerdy type of guy. And then the second guy
is a
English guy. 24% of qualified drivers.
He's right. He's right.
And all the guys are
could be the real guy. So are you the real deal?
I'm the real deal. And I've been checking out you guys, man.
Then why would you want to go and do some bad Jesse Jackson impression?
I can do a good Jesse Jackson. I can really do a good Jesse Jackson.
Well, I heard the first part of it.
No,
this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. Let me say this. Down with dope, up with hope.
It's better than it was the first time you called.
Oh, trust me, I get into it once I start to feel like.
Oh, but you're much more famous as the Kiss My Bumper guy.
Yeah, but I'm really a comedian, by the way, Don and Mike. And
where do you perform around here?
Locally, I do a lot of stuff at the Comedy Factory, Improv, D.C. I do a lot of stuff out of town, though. I'm like out there.
Well, you should.
They're coming to Baltimore's great, open up an improv too, so I'll be there also.
Well, you should come down to the studio someday so we can get you on tape in a studio saying, Donna might kiss my bumper, just kiss it.
All right, we'll do that. I want to send you guys the tape anyway because I do a lot of writing too, and I wouldn't mind being a writer for your show or something like that.
Yeah, right. We'll add you to our staff.
Right.
Okay. Give us one more kiss my bumper.
Kiss
small bubble. Just kiss it.
Okay, that's a semi-famous guy.
It is.
All right, semi-famous. Perfect description of that. And obviously he's a stand-up comedian. Well, we, you know, this is like the distrust hour, you know, where
yes,
we're trying to figure out if everybody's legit.
All right, but
yeah, this is a real thing. It's a real thing.
I do believe this guy. All right, thank you.
All right, can I get your address stuff from one of your people so I can tell you some stuff?
Sure, hold on a second, please.
All right.
Now, Charlie, that's an interesting look you have on your face. Do you think that's the real Kiss My Bumper guy?
No, I was laughing at, can I get your address from one of your peoples?
Right.
That's what I was laughing at.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
Give him a fake address.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
What's happening?
Hi.
Hey, I want to talk to Don and Mike about,
Umday it's Shay.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Thank you. Yes, it's us. Hello.
Hey, Arnold, I'm sorry. Last week you had, Reverend Jesse Jackson on the, game show.
Yes.
The game show, Don.
Yes, we did.
Sorry, guys. He sure sounded like he's been spending a lot of time with Arnold.
Is that what this is about?
Mike?
Yeah, I'm the one that does the impressions, dumbass.
Yes, I know you are.
Yeah, so is that the purpose of this call?
No, I just...
You incredible
been
moron.
Hanging around with Arnold or what?
Oh, come on, that was a perfect Jesse Jackson.
Yeah. It was good, but it sounded a lot like Arnold.
Well, I'm not going to take a criticism from somebody who couldn't even figure out that he was talking to us.
Listen, don't even mention this douchebag. That was a great Jesse Jackson.
Hey, love you guys.
I do not love you. You're a total dumbass.
Okay.
You're an incredible dumbass, and this doesn't sound like Arnold. Okay? So, you are dumb. You are numb.
Hold on. Oh, you are dumb. You are dumb. It's time for you to drink my...
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you for giving me the power.
You are Umday.
You are Umday Itche.
Ink Dray Ike's May Umkay.
Go on, drink it. Drink it down. Drink it down, moron.
Goodbye.
See you guys.
See you later.
Is this true that Liddy's son's ready to come on?
Yeah, as soon as you come.
All right, well, let's do a break, and when we come back,
we get an update.
G. Gordon Liddy's son, Tom Liddy, what is he? Is he an attorney or something?
Yes.
He's an attorney.
I think he's in the courtroom, right, with everything. He's representing his father.
All right, so we'll get the update.
We'll find out.
And find out what the deal is with that the nut job guy who saw flying saucers and was chased by witches. If you were listening an hour ago, you know what we're talking about. And if you weren't, well, then, that's why you got to listen to the whole goddamn show.
Amen.
Right. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reed.
Even better than sex and steak, it's Don and Mike.
We're going to talk to Liddy's son here in a second. That reminds me that when I was watching the Regis Philbin show today... Leah Remini was on the Regis' show.
Yeah, I was watching her in the gym. They had the sound turned off, and I was reading the closed captions.
Yeah.
She was cracking Regis up.
Yeah, she looked pretty hot today.
She was real hot.
She's doing a thing with her hair where the hair is, like, curlier than it used to be.
Yeah, she was in Vegas.
Yes, she was.
With Regis.
Yes. We are trying desperately to get a hold of Leah to ask her about her experiences with Regis. Obviously, it was a taped show.
Right.
They wouldn't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do a goddamn show from Las Vegas. Yeah. Ask her, if Regis hit on her, what Regis smelled like. And more importantly, we want to ask her about the giant CBS plane that's taking the stars to the Super Bowl, and if, in fact, Leah is one of the stars, and the fact that we're positive the plane is going to crash.
Well, but then again, if she is on that plane, we want her to do the show if it doesn't crash.
And also, just want to point out, and I know that Tom Liddy's online, so I'll keep this very, very brief. Yesterday when we were complaining that CBS refuses to pay postage on prizes that we're giving away, and that they are refusing to buy envelopes to send prizes in, and that they've taken away our promotional budget, I'd like to point out that the company that is too cheap to buy a freaking envelope to send a prize is spending... What was the total for these cameras, Rob?
$25 million, right?
$66,000 plus cable.
They're ending spending millions of dollars for cameras that they're going to use five times during the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
To bring you what they are calling 3D Matrix-like rotating view of key plays.
Very exciting. Very expensive. That in the plane, though, we don't get envelopes.
Right. There's a giant article today in the newspaper.
If you enjoy that shot when you see it at the Super Bowl, understand it's our envelopes that paid for that shot.
Yes. Each time they use it,
mm-hmm.
it will cost $660,000.
Wow. Worth it.
For the equipment...
Mm-hmm.
For the fiber optic cable,
mm-hmm.
and for all of the newfangled junk that they're using to give you these matrix-like angles at the Super Bowl.
It's very complicated.
I mean, we're all for that. We're all for CBS offering a better football product.
Yeah, but give us our postage back.
Yeah, but, you know, goddamn it. Buy envelopes so we can mail out prizes.
And you're a company guy. You're wearing your CBS Sports sweatshirt today.
I sure am.
That's right.
But, boy, I was pissed when I came in today and I read this.
I know.
You know, they can't afford... And, incidentally, I don't have my Super Bowl tickets yet, either.
And you got a space-age, you know, graphic in the newspaper about how sophisticated it's going to be, but yet,
yeah.
you know, licking an envelope is not in that graphic.
They got no problems paying $600,000 to show you a guy making a football play so that it looks, and they got a picture of Keanu Reeves from The Matrix.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll be looking exactly like that.
Yeah, they got no problem spending $600,000 to make a football game look like The Matrix, but they won't buy envelopes for us to send prizes.
Two words, go figure.
Right. Okay. Listen, joining us now is G. Gordon Liddy's son, Tom Liddy. I want to bring everybody up to speed on why we wanted to speak to Tom. That we read the article in the newspaper today about the Kukula that was up on stand in the G. Gordon Liddy trial.
The way we understand it, this individual was brought on the stand by the complainants who were trying to, you know, present him as not a credible witness. I, you know, we don't know the details.
Although,
that's why we're glad to have Tom Liddy on the show.
The newspaper made it out today like the guy was put up there on behalf of G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah, well, there wasn't anything making it clear, you know, what was going on in the trial. It was just talking about how, you know, loopy this guy looked.
All right, here he is now, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. How you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Thanks for coming on. You know, we support...
Got any extra tickets to the Super Bowl?
We wish.
First off, you know, we support your dad in this lawsuit. And you should tell him that we're behind him. We told him that before he had to take time off. But here's what's a pisser, is that we're reading the account today in the Washington Post, of course, which is never going to give anybody a fair shake. And to read the article in the Post, here's how they present it. Your dad got his information about what allegedly happened at Watergate from a guy who, when questioned, said he was chased by witches in Seattle, was on a spaceship going to a different planet, and was trembling, shaking, staring at the ceiling in the courtroom, and was on Valium at the time that he was giving his testimony.
We got talking about this, and we figured we'd like to get the other side of what's going on here, and maybe you could fill in some of the blanks for us.
Oh, yeah, well, they're way off. He never got on any spaceship. He was just waiting for the spaceship.
Oh. This guy... And
there's the Washington Post for you.
The thing that's the pisser is, the Post is presenting this story. It's written in such a fashion, if you read it, you would think, this is the guy who gave your dad the information. You guys put him on the stand, and it backfired on you today, when in reality... It was the other side that put him on the stand, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, number one, as you know, G. Gordon Liddy was a participant in Watergate. So, number one, he's a primary source of all the information about the break-in to which he was present. Now, subsequent to that, he's been presented with a lot of information, the bulk of which comes out of, you know, the Watergate sections of the archives, which are really we're dealing with FBI. Reports and reports of interviews and testimony from other people. And there's all these different sources of information. Now, one of the many sources is this guy whose name is Philip Mackin Bailey, and that's the gentleman to whom you're referring.
Right.
He was an attorney that graduated from Catholic Law School back in the 60s, and he had his own little shop, and he defended prostitutes at the D.C. District Courthouse. He had a little office right across the street from the courthouse.
It's interesting the way you get more information. As you see that, and nobody knew that. Okay.
And they're alleging that there came a time when, rather than just defending these prostitutes, he was kind of encouraging, you know, quote-unquote nice girls, young girls that were up in Capitol Hill, because, you know, I know the public doesn't know this, and why
Washington Post will never let you know this, but there was a lot of sexual activity going on in politics back in the 70s, yeah, you know, right. Even on Capitol Hill. Big
right.
shock there.
Right.
So he eventually got himself to the point where he wasn't just representing, but was allegedly facilitating this. So back in June 9th, 1972, just a week and a half before the Watergate break-in that everybody knows about, he was arrested, his office was raided, and the prosecutor got all this evidence from his office, including a notebook, which had the list of girls that were allegedly prostitutes and also girls that were allegedly what he termed runners. These are people that that helped set up or meet and greet between, you know, girls who were going to provide services and individuals, be they from the Democratic National Committee or from Foggy Bottom, you know, right there next to the Columbia Plaza, by, you know, where the State Department is, or up on Capitol Hill. And allegedly in this book was the name of Maureen Biner, and she had a nickname, Clout. And this Philip Mackin Bailey, this attorney, alleges that she was called Clout because one of her paramours was John Dean, then counsel to the White House. And that's given rise to all of this.
Okay, all right. Well, see, I didn't know. So as opposed to a source, this is a guy that was, you know, in the archives and in the information.
His prosecutor was a guy named Jack Rudy. He was prosecuting the case, and the White House picked up the phone and called the prosecutor, that was John Dean, and said, come into the White House, I want to see all the evidence. And specifically, he wanted to see Philip Mackin Bailey's address book to see if the name Maureen Biner, you know, was in it.
All right, well, then
it's highly unusual.
Well, what would you and your dad's response be? I'll just read you the first paragraph of this article. Philip Bailey, the disbarred lawyer who G. Gordon Liddy says is the main source of his theory that the Watergate break-in was intended to gather information about a call girl ring at DNC headquarters, took the witness stand today and wove a tale of intrigue filled with witches and aliens.
That's the opening paragraph of the Post article.
Well, the fundamental thing that's wrong with that is G. Gordon Liddy does not say that Philip Mackin Bailey is the sole source of what's now known as the alternative theory of the purpose motivation for the Watergate break-in. It is a source. It is the plaintiff. It is Ida Maxie Wells. And her attorney, who used to work for the Democrats on the Watergate Investigative Committee, they're the ones who are saying that Bailey is the only source. Why they called Bailey, and they went through a series of his history of mental illness and arrests and this what have you to try to discredit him as a source for anything.
So,
and then they're going to try to persuade the jury that Liddy only relied on him and no other information, and of course they're going to fail.
Gotcha. So how pissed was your dad having to sit there? Because I'm going to read you, Bailey told of shadowy figures dressed as witches chasing him through Seattle. He recounted he was an alien waiting for a spaceship taking him to another home planet. How pissed was your dad sitting there listening to this crap?
Oh, not at all. Well, you know, to be honest with you, if you're in the courtroom and you're watching it, Philip Mackin Bailey is a very sympathetic figure. Here's a guy who was a practicing lawyer, and admittedly, he was involved in things he shouldn't have been involved with, you know, prostitution. He was arrested, and he was thrown into St. Elizabeth's, and his life's been a mess. He's disbarred. His life's been a mess since then. And to see a guy whose life has basically been destroyed, and I'm not blaming anybody other than himself, except certainly people can make allegations that his case was not prosecuted or wasn't handled properly by Judge Ritchie at the time. But this guy is a pathetic figure. I mean, he's up there on the stand. He's had a terrible life. He still doesn't know whether his arrest and the reason he was treated the way he was is in any way related to John Dean trying to defend himself or his girlfriend. And his life's been destroyed, and he's had his history of some mental problems. He's been taking a lot of medication on and off for years. And it's really hard to watch another human being who suffered like that. So if you're in the courtroom, you're watching somebody suffer.
So
if you're out and about reading the paper, it sounds funny.
Suffice to say that this guy is not, your dad's entire case is not based on this guy.
Oh, no, of course not at all.
So what we had heard, Tom, was that the complainant has actually wrapped their case now, and now you guys are going to go on with your defense. Is that right?
That is exactly right. The defense rested its case early this afternoon, and we started presenting our case this afternoon up until 4:30, and then we're going to resume again tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning.
How long you figure before your dad is back in our hallways dancing around here?
Oh, geez. Boy, I wish he could be there tomorrow. He's going to be, we understand he's going to testify, and that should be a lot of fun, on Monday. And then I would imagine that the case will conclude shortly thereafter, maybe by Wednesday, certainly by Thursday, I would say.
And you're confident that you'll prevail in this situation?
I feel very... confident that O.J. was going to do light.
I think what he's saying is you never know with the jury.
You never know what's going to happen. Okay.
Well, listen, Tom, your cell's breaking up. Just tell your dad that we're behind him, and if he wants us to be up there as character witnesses, we're there for your dad.
Emphasis on character.
All right, very good.
And enjoy the Super Bowl.
Well, we will Semper Fi.
Semper Fi,
hurrah. Semper Fi.
Hurrah.
Hurrah. Hurrah. Thank you, Tom.
Bye-bye, Tom Liddy.
Well, that's cool. I like hearing that other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. And it'll be interesting to hear when G. Gordon Liddy gets up on the stand, what happens there. And, don't always, really.
We hate to keep doing this thing on the Washington Post, but really.
I am as politically opposed to G. Gordon Liddy and what he has to say as anybody. But let me tell you something about the Washington Post.
They effed him on that.
They effed him, and, that's just naked. There's there's nothing about that.
Nowhere
paints the facts as they really are.
Nowhere in that article did they say, the guy's a nut job, but he's brought up there by the people who are fighting Liddy in this lawsuit.
And the way I've always understood it when I've heard Liddy talk about this is that he is kind of welcoming this opportunity to get some facts into the record. And, it's like any conspiracy. Who knows what the real deal is? And I think that we'll get some information as this goes on. I would assume that as they present their case, you're going to hear a lot more detail about this theory of the prostitution ring.
Yeah. Well, but the last word on this topic is that I do happen to have a tape of G being prepped for his... when did Tom say he was going to be testifying? On Monday?
Monday, yes.
Here is a tape of G. Gordon Liddy. Now, what they do is they run through sample questions with him where they say, did you lie about this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you, in fact, have contact with Philip Bailey? And here's one of G.'s answers.
And now...
Well, here it is. And G., about Philip Bailey.
Germany.
About Philip Bailey.
The flugen sie rufen gehalten, ich hatten ein bewilligen Hund. Oh, schroden gehalten, sie geboten, verloten, gesein, gehalten. Es wird ungedient, die Pop-Family gefasst eingeschieden. Es lösen, den großen, den größten Schweinhund, und nur ein bisschen Rasbrötchen gestoppelt, geheilge, ein gehüllter, ein gehüllter, ein vier gesein, ein Argumentationsrassel, und Deutschland für Deutschland für Deutschland, Sieg,
Oh, now I'm not optimistic.
I love that tape.
That is a great tape.
God damn, I love that tape. I don't know, that might be my favorite Liddy tape, but this might be my second favorite one.
Roaring by the entire field was Mercedes-Benz, which took first place with BMW.
I'm ready. Here's a good one, too. Here's another good one.
ABBA gives me an erection.
There you go.
That'll win the case right there.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, we pull for the guy.
Yeah, I do. We pull for him.
Regardless of how you line up, he's being effed here, at least publicity-wise, by the Washington Post.
Yeah, they put a little inaccurate story. They put, and it's just, give all the information that you have. Give both sides. That's all.
So the guy's a kook. Well, what they don't write is that, hey, Liddy knows the guy's a kook.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, really, and you heard Tom Liddy describe, the guy as a pathetic figure.
Yeah.
Which sounds to me, based on what he said, of course he's a pathetic figure.
It's a nut job. Okay, well, thank you, Tom Liddy. Thank you for your time. God damn it. How about that? But we actually did something semi-serious on the show for a sec.
Yeah, I mean, looking out for a buddy. And we both consider G. Gordon Liddy a friend.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He really is. He's been very nice to us.
Yeah, we fought the battles with him.
Right? Absolutely.
Christ. F the Washington Post. God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do they hate everybody that works at the station?
I have no idea.
I mean, it can't be just us.
They have had their sights on this radio station forever. Forever. I never remember getting a fair shake in the Washington Post. I mean, there are little moments where they'll print something semi-accurate, but it's usually accompanied by or followed by something awful.
Right. Equally bad. All right. Well, thank you, Tom Liddy. Listen, not to run this whole politics thing into the ground, but, we've not heard Homo Joe's tape of the inauguration yet.
Yeah. Yes, with the protests.
And if we don't hear it very soon, it's going to be old news, so we will get to that in just a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's up, guys?
Tom, Gavin, you're a monster. You have shown me something.
No!
Tom, Gavin. Gavin. It's 2001. You got to show me something more.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to save.
Don and Mike, live at the Super Bowl this Friday. They will show you something.
Yep.
My name is Larry Williams. And I sure would be interested in the movie.
You got a big Larry?
Yeah, I got a that long. And that big around. I got a good I got a made of gold. I got a good I got a lovely
Johnny Walker.
I got a beautiful I got a lovely
I'll keep it in mind.
And it can 24 hours a day. Around the clock. I got a that go around the clock.
So the girls in this neighborhood are pretty happy. They're walking around with smiles in their face.
Yeah. Hell, f*** yeah.
There ain't any girls around here with frowns.
Hell no. Because I am the damn Dickman. D-I-C-K-E-M-A-N. I am the Dickman.
All right.
Yeah. Your world. I'm just like a squirrel trying to crack a nut.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, take me to the movie.
Right.
Hey, Larry, we'll see ya. All right.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Take care, Larry.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
The password is the Don and Mike Show.
Thursday, we are giving away $1,000 on the show.
All right.
Courtesy of The Cell, rated R, with J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, and Double D Vince Vaughn. The Cell now available to rent at your local video warehouse location. Here's what I'm thinking. For Thursday, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. We play an edition of What's In There.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a contest to see, for guys and girls, who can get the most into their orifices.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I'm thinking, you know, candy bars,
right?
Sticks of butter, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Girls are welcome to use either hole, and guys would just have to use their dukes.
That's interesting.
Or their nostrils.
You mean all the way up inside?
Well, you
know. Like x-rayable?
Well, just how much?
Or just between the pillows?
Well, what's in there?
Mm-hmm.
Where we could play a game where they could actually come in and we could try to guess what's in there. Or maybe a contest to see who could actually get the most in there.
Like the time I put the quarters in my belly button?
Yes, except we would be talking strictly genitals.
Right.
You know, for the girls, the front or the back. And for the guys, it would be just the back.
Or you could call the game Chamora.
Yeah.
Who wants to play Chamora?
Chamora. But anyway, listen, that's on Thursday's show, so think about that. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Very good.
Just like we got $1,000, and that's something we haven't done before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To see, I know one time we had a girl who was going to come down, and for one of our games, she was going to put like 8 tampons in at once, and she never showed up.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I was thinking, you know, girl, how many Snickers bars could you put inside yourself?
Right.
You know,
right.
It wouldn't have to be all the way in, you know.
Yeah, or we could do a guessing game as to what's in there and, like, have each person come in and we'd get 10 questions.
To guess what's in there.
You know, and then the person would have to, produce whatever is in there.
Pull back the towel or whatever they were wearing.
Because I think if you did quantity, you were pushing the envelope, there might be a medical question involved.
All right, so maybe, one of the things I've gotten written down is what's in there.
What's in there is fantastic. And then at the end, you know, whether we guess right or wrong, they produce what's in there. You know, and I'm also thinking if the guys were doing that, you know, we'd have some pretty nasty Snickers wrappers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it was how many? I mean, if you're doing quantity, you know?
All right, so girls and guys, just think about this for Thursday's show.
Right.
So you would have to do it. We'd give you a beach towel or something.
Mm-hmm.
You would insert something either into your front or your back.
Right.
You would stand in front of us wearing a towel, and then we would have like 10 questions.
I think 10 questions would suffice.
To see if we could guess what's in there.
And we'd have to lay the questions out so, like, we could really narrow the category down in the first place.
Is it edible?
Person, place, or thing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, I guess the person who fools us the most would be the person who would win the $1,000.
Fantastic.
Okay?
Yeah.
And girls and guys open to this contest, but please, more girls than guys.
And you know, the thing that's nice about this is the most unusual item would probably be the winner.
Yeah, right.
You know, if it was a Snickers, I'll tell you right now, I'm guessing Snickers bar the first time somebody comes in here.
Well, that's a good one.
Don't eat that Snickers bar.
That's a good one.
Please don't.
No. Okay.
And in the wrapper, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a mess.
Yeah.
That would be a terrible mess.
A lovely mess.
Also, oh, I wrote myself a note yesterday that, you know, our producer, Charles Royhill, very rarely says anything that is worth repeating. He is, frankly, just a pain in the ass. I just asked him during the break. I said, will you go down the hall? I said, go down the hall and ask Alan if he's got my Super Bowl tickets yet. And he looked at me and he said, do it yourself. You know, and I stopped myself for a second, you know, because I don't want to be all high and mighty like, you know, I'm your boss.
Right.
I said, well, it's easier if you do it.
It's almost like a negotiation.
I don't have to go down there and get into a whole elongated conversation with him. So finally, we walk down there, and it's like as I'm getting closer to the door, he's walking behind me, and we see that the door is open just a small crack. And I said, well, he says he's on the telephone.
Right.
I said, fine. Okay, you're off the hook.
Well, it is like, it's why we have an agent. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, when you're trying to get something from somebody, it's better to have an intermediary to do that.
And I mean, it was like, well, last night, I called him up and I said, hey, call Alan and ask him about my tickets. And you
here
know what
comes
he said?
Charles Broyhill, right?
You know what he said?
No, that's not exactly what you said.
I called you last night.
While I was asleep.
Oh, at 9:30.
I've been sick. You never go to bed early.
At 9:30.
Right.
I said, you know what? You're probably right. I probably was more polite than I said, would you please?
No, you said, would you mind calling Alan? And I said, when? You said, now? I said, yes, I would.
There you go. There you go.
Was this about the aforementioned Super Bowl tickets?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's that important to you, why am I in the middle?
Because I'm such an important person
right. That
I shouldn't be calling him.
About illusion, Charlie.
My emissary should be calling him.
Uh-huh.
You're the emissary.
How does the tickets affect the show?
Oh, God. The tickets affect the show because if I don't get the tickets, there ain't going to be a show.
Yes, there is. Well, we discussed that, too.
Okay, but that was supposed to be a private discussion.
You brought it up.
Christ. No, I only brought up what I said to you in the hallway a moment ago, which is what started this all. Would you go down and ask Alan about my ticket? And he looks at me and says, do it yourself.
Is it the diarrhea?
No, it's not.
Okay, how is the diarrhea?
It's not as potent today.
Okay, good.
And you know, I'm going to follow all of this up with a compliment, you douchebag. That yesterday you actually said something that I thought was funny.
Noteworthy, you actually wrote it down.
I wrote it down.
He didn't mean to.
He said to me during a break, remember we were doing our whole riff about Melissa and Joan Rivers?
Yes.
He said to me, have you ever noticed that Melissa Rivers looks just like Steven Tyler?
Aerosmith's lead singer.
And I wrote it down.
Hey, a round of applause for a funny from Charlie Broyhill.
Charles Broyles.
Most difficult man here.
As helpful as a heart attack. I swear to God,
seriously,
he is.
I'm calling him to find out where our hotel is in Tampa because I want to play golf on Saturday. And it's a simple request. Charlie has a way about him, that, and I think he loves this, that he can make you feel somewhat uncomfortable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can feel a little bit uncomfortable. Anytime I'm just asking him for where we're staying, and I feel like I'm asking a favor. I really do. Like, I just went in the office again. I said, did you get that stuff about where we're staying? It's up in my office. I'll bring it down. And I feel like going, don't put yourself out, please. Don't do that.
You want me to run and get it right then?
No, I didn't.
I could email it to you.
I would have asked. I would have asked. Yeah, email it to me.
Yeah, okay.
You
know,
come on.
I don't want it to distract you.
Okay. F you.
Okay, all right.
F you,
okay,
monkey boy.
Okay. That's fine. But last night, you know, and it's not like I order you to do anything.
Oh, I know.
Exactly what you said. It was a polite conversation. Hey, I'm pissed off about these tickets. I've been trying to call Jeremy. His voicemail is effed up. Would you mind calling Alan?
Yes, I would.
Well, okay, great.
Well, you asked me a yes or no question.
Well,
I gave you an answer you didn't like.
No, it wasn't yes or no. It was.
Would you mind?
Would you mind? And, well, it was a polite way of saying, call him.
Well, then you should have just said, call Alan for me at 10 o'clock.
9:30.
Okay, 9:30, even though it couldn't have been fixed last night at 9:30.
But he could have known how upset I was last night at 9:30.
That's true.
It's important.
I guess he could have.
There are a lot of things I like on this show.
I don't know if I could have conveyed
this
that
right
as well
now.
As you.
This thing right now is one of the things I truly enjoy.
Why?
I just like it. I like it when I interrupt and he goes shh. I always enjoy it when Mr. Broyhill pays us a visit here. Even though he gives more crap than anybody in the 50 states. What?
You're gonna hit your keyboard.
Oh, F you. Again. He's very tough to work with. He's very extremely difficult. Rob, what is he?
He's the Minister of Information.
He's a handful. That's what you used to say. That's what I was looking for.
He's a handful.
Rob was over there. And see, Rob takes this opportunity to just take a good nap.
Yeah, right.
When Charlie comes in here, Rob, that's why Rob gave me that answer.
Yeah, it's the only time Rob's not being made fun of. Rob and his gigantic zit.
Where's Rob's zit?
Cut himself shaving.
Right here on the right side of his face. Where is it?
Have you not noticed?
Not as it. I cut myself shaving right here. Mm-hmm.
Do you shave your eyelids? All the way up by your eyes?
Granted, I do shave on top of my beard because I get
that's
stray hair.
That's why you cut yourself. You shouldn't be shaving up there.
I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, it is.
You'd think by now I'd know.
It is a quarter of an inch below his eye.
Right. I'm blessed to have vision today. Thank God.
This is the zit season, the dry nose season, the diarrhea season. It's not a good season.
We're not a well bunch.
No, you know why we're not a well bunch? Because we live in a climate where it's, 30, 40 degrees, 12 degrees in the morning. We should all be living where there are palm trees, gentlemen.
Amen.
We really should.
Has no one fought this?
Has no one fought that?
All right, well,
on line one.
Hey, Alan.
Yes.
Charlie has something he wants to ask you. I'll send him down the hall. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Do you want me to do it?
No. I want him to do it. He's the producer.
And what is it you want me to ask him?
How he's coming with the search for my tickets.
For?
The Super Bowl.
Okay.
This Sunday in Tampa Bay.
All right. Can I call you later tonight with his answer?
Ben?
Yeah, well, you call me.
I'll email you.
No. That's what you say to Mike.
Email Mike and he can call you.
Did you go upstairs to your office and get the information that I was looking for?
No, I haven't been able to.
Is he staying at the same place as I'm staying at?
Yes.
He wants. Then I'll tell you.
What?
I know where we're staying.
Are you going to tell me right now?
No. I'll tell you during the break.
I thought you weren't staying there, though.
I am.
I thought you were moving up to the good place.
I can't.
Oh, so you got screwed on that, too?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, so I'm staying at the same place you are.
Oh, okay.
And as it turns out, the good place... See, listen, when you go to the Super Bowl, it's a goddamn... There's a hierarchy of the hotels,
mm-hmm.
of which hotel is the best hotel to stay at, because right. it's like we're all... The famous people.
And after all these years, you would think, so we're going to have to trek over to where we're doing the broadcast.
No, it's all very close.
Oh, it is?
It's all within walking distance. It's all city center.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, then that's good.
Downtown Tampa Bay.
All right. That's good.
But that's, so you could have called me. I would have told you.
All right.
I know the hotel we're at.
Okay. All right. That's good.
So you don't have to tell him.
Good.
Okay.
I hate you, Charlie.
I think the world of you, Mike.
I know you.
There he is.
He sounded like his butt last night.
Really?
How is the diarrhea, seriously?
It's better.
Hey, listen, come on, you got to be honest. When we also have conversations, did I not say to you today, I mean, there's a compassionate side. I said, are you not feeling well?
You did ask me that.
And you said you weren't. I said, hey, I'm sorry to hear that.
You did.
I did.
He never says that to me when I'm feeling bad.
He doesn't.
Oh, okay. Come on. We don't sympathize with each other. We're very tough on each other when it comes to illness.
Yeah, I guess we are.
We're very rough on each other.
I guess we are.
Because we both don't like, when we're not here. You know what I mean? So we're kind of like, we're very, very tough on
each other. That needs to change.
Oh, just get out. Would you just go ask him if he's got the tickets? Please?
Hey, Charlie, for all of us here, please ask him. Because Don's not going to be feeling 1,000% until this issue is closed.
Unless the answer is that Alan has them, he's not going to feel better today.
Well, I'd like to know what he's doing about it.
Okay.
You know what? Never mind. Never mind.
460.
Never mind.
Okay.
Your excuse.
Alan, line one.
From?
Hi, Alan. From this discussion.
Yes.
Okay. Bye, Mike.
Bye, Charlie. See you later, Charlie. Hi, Alan.
I'm confused.
Listen, Charlie.
We were in the middle of a conversation. Sorry about that.
Oh, did I interrupt?
No. I was just curious how your search had been going.
My search, i.e. the conversation we had this morning.
Yeah, well, it's no secret. I've already told everybody.
Oh, okay. The tickets, believe me, I am...
As promised, Don, I am searching high and low.
Okay. Let me just mention one word to you.
Very high and very low.
All right, I'm going to mention two words to you.
Yeah.
Ticket.
Brokers.
That would be one of the areas.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
That would be a very, I don't have to get into that with you.
I think I know what he was going to say. That would be the alternative he doesn't want to exercise.
Wow. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Listen, you don't care who you get them from.
No.
Right?
Certainly I don't.
Not at all.
I understand the predicament that I'm in.
Gotcha. And listen, I tell you, it's not his fault. Listen to all the crap I go through today. Yeah. That, you know, it's normally... It's the one goddamn perk I get a year working for this company is that we go down to the Super Bowl show and I get two tickets for the game and I take my kid to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal for us to go to the game. So 2 weeks ago, Charlie Broyhill calls Ken Stevens and Ken says, no problem. Great. He calls Ken last week. Ken says, no problem. Calls Ken on Monday. Ken says, hey, I got nothing to do with that. Talk to Alan about it.
Well, you know, I think now that Alan has this position, it does fall on him, and I get the impression from this conversation that he understands the gravity of that position.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I told you I'd take my kid out of school for a couple of days.
Right.
You know, it's Bart's reward for doing so well during the year in school. We only have two more years together before he goes to college,
mm-hmm.
but we can have this father-son bonding time together. Mm-hmm. And listen, it's my free thing. It's my free thing I get every year. I only get one free thing a year, and that's it. My Super Bowl tickets.
That's right.
That's all I ever get from this place.
I have confidence that Alan Limewine will come through.
Well, I like putting a little extra pressure on.
There you go.
All right. And you know we're leaving Thursday.
Believe me, I know exactly when you're leaving.
Okay. All right, thank you.
What time Thursday, by the way? Just make sure I'm
after the show.
Doing a regular show?
Yeah, that's
Thursday.
What I thought. Okay.
Regular show.
Right.
We're going to wrap it up pretty early, though, on Thursday.
Yeah,
you know,
I can imagine.
You know.
We'll be leaving on time because we have a flight to catch Thursday night.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Is there any reason for me to be concerned about this?
I'm concerned. You don't have to be concerned.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Good answer.
So does that constitute your...
That's a yes.
Well, I just want to...
Well, I'm concerned. I mean, I'm always concerned.
Does that constitute that I have your word?
Well, I'm going to fall short of giving you my absolute word because, you know, I can't do that right now.
Why?
But it wouldn't be right.
Why wouldn't it be right?
Well, I just got thrown into this... You know.
Yes, I understand, but, you know.
Well, I'm...
T.S.
Don,
Yell at Ken about it.
What's that?
Yell at Ken about it.
I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that. I don't want... Listen.
Well, listen, listen, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I'm taking my kid out of school on Friday and taking my kid out of school on Monday.
You don't want to do it for nothing. I understand that.
Correct. And I'd like to know before the day I'm taking him out of school.
I understand that, too.
And being as, you know, this is a highly successful company, and really...
And a highly successful show.
Thank you. I don't scream for anything. This is the one goddamn perk that I get a year. How about just a firm yes? I'll make it happen. Because you know what's going to happen. You're trying every cheap route in the world.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, yes, I do. You're trying to call the Redskins. You're trying to call the Ravens. You're trying to do it on the cheap. You're probably going to have to end up just buying the tickets. You're just going to have to get them from a scalper.
Listen, at this point, I may just go down to Tampa myself and scalp tickets for you. No, I'm kidding. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so do I have your word?
That was Rob with that mock laughter in the background.
Thanks, Rob. I need that.
All right, I want you to think that was me.
Do I have your word?
I will do everything I can.
Oh.
That's my word. Why is it
so impossible just to say that I have your word?
Because God forbid... You know,
God forbid
locust,
what?
Locust hit me and,
All right, listen, if you die, you're off the hook. but you know, keeping in mind that most likely you will be alive by Thursday, do I have your word?
My God, Don.
Is this such an unreasonable demand?
No, it's not.
So let me know where I stand on this.
I mean, if I would have known about it a week ago, probably not. 4 days before you leave, I don't want to say unreasonable, but difficult.
But not my fault that you didn't know about it
four days before
we're leaving.
I'm not blaming you.
Okay, let me just, you know, and Alan, love you. You helped us with the situation. Do you want me to call Ken? Because he said if there was a problem, I should call Ken.
Well, listen, I've always told you, you can call Ken anytime you want.
Okay, bye. Would you give me Ken's number?
Sure.
You want to wrap this up now, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. And if you folks listening think I'm being a prick, well, tough. You don't know what it's like to work for these effers. And this is the only
thing you get.
The only free thing that I get once a year. And every year for 10 years, they give it to me. Now,
this is the best way to expedite the situation, is to take care of this on the year. So I think that's why.
And you know, really, it's mainly because, I'm concerned about taking my kid out of school. You know, he's missing school for two days.
You don't want to go down there with him if you're not going to go to the game. I mean, that's why he wants to go down there.
Right, what's the point? I mean, I was discussing it with Frieda last night. She said, well, come on, Bart would be happy to watch it in a hotel room. I said, well, yeah, I know, but crazy. You going to fly 2,000 miles to sit in a hotel room?
NEW is closed. Charlie's working on finding Ken, but he's unavailable to the phone right now.
Oh, well, what's his 1-800-douchebag number? I mean, he's got a cell thing.
Uh-huh. A cell phone?
Yeah. Well, I just got to rat him out to Alan. I mean, I got to rat Alan out to Ken. Let me call Ken's wife. Give me a minute.
I found out that Charlie gave me a card. Let me know where I'm staying down there.
Oh, wonderful.
So we can get all this taken care of.
It's not as bad as you think it is.
Things are starting to come together now.
What do you mean?
I said things are starting to come. What do you want to say? I think things are coming together. I was joking.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Joking.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's not like... I thought you meant the fact we're not staying at what you would call a 4-star hotel.
No, I'm hoping where we're staying can be good or very bad.
Yeah.
And it's never great.
Right.
So I'm hoping. We've had some experiences in the past.
Great, and she's not there.
I don't like the word spillover.
Hi, this is 757.
Well, she's not there either.
Huh.
Okay. Well,
I didn't like the fact that Alan didn't give his word either. It's kind of like giving an out.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we are the company that's putting it on. You know what I mean? We are the company that's covering it.
You know, so what? You got to pay some money.
This is a tough one, I guess.
To get there. Oh, come on. They're all tough ones.
I was just reading an article about Wellington Mara.
All tough.
Did you read that article about Wellington Mara?
Yeah, he'll only give the tickets to his grandkids who are 10 and older.
Yeah, 10 and over.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's Wellington Mara. He can kiss my ass. It's the one free thing I get a year.
Right. What you should do...
Just let me know if I can have it or
you want a piece of advice from me on this?
Yeah.
What you should really do is call a ticket broker yourself and fill out an expense report.
Because I'll never see the money.
If worse comes to worse, though, I mean, then take the bet. I mean, that would assure that you go to the game. And then you could do the battle later.
Alan asked that you give him till the end of tomorrow's show.
Why don't you find me... could you please find me the number of a ticket service?
Right away.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
I have a contact in that arena.
Do you have it, like, in your wallet or something?
Might have it on my Palm Pilot.
Oh, this is what he's been waiting for.
The true test.
Chance to spring into action on ye old Palm Pilot.
I got it right here.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Pass it over.
All right. Let me write it down for you.
Is this a guy you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Think he'd be there now?
Well, this is the business number.
Because Rob found a page full of ads in the paper.
Sure. No, this is a contact. This is a guy I know. He's offered me some stuff in the past.
Okay.
You'll have to pay.
Yeah.
When he got me tickets for the Red Sox. Oh, man, did I pay.
Do I know this guy?
You might. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Okay.
Thank you.
His name is Bruce.
Bruce, gotcha. Appreciate it.
Hey, how about that, huh? You see what I just did?
Bruce Hall Sports.
Yes, is Bruce there, please?
Yes, Mike O'Mara calling. Is Bruce there? You're on the air, incidentally. It's the Don and Mike show.
He's down in Tampa.
He's already down in Tampa?
I'm down there.
Hey, listen, honey, maybe you can help me. This is Don.
This is my partner, Don Geronimo.
Hi. I need two tickets for the Super Bowl. Wait, is that...
No, Bruce can get them, but he's down in Tampa.
You got a number where we could reach him?
Down
there? Okay, we got to take you on. We have to...
Yeah, hold on a second. Great. Robbie, if you get that number...
What's that number?
While you're doing that, let me just call...
No, don't call another one.
I just want to see what they would charge. Just call one of these random things out of the paper. I'll just say how much for a pair of tickets for the Super Bowl. Don't.
ABC, this is Dan. I may help you.
Yes, hi. This is the Don and Mike show. We're on the radio right now. We're just doing a survey. How much would a pair of Super Bowl tickets? What's the going rate for Super Bowl tickets?
About $1,800 and up. I'm on the air right now.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Can I say hello to someone?
Yeah, sure.
Jim Bob Browski down in Seaford, Delaware, one of my good friends.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That's $1,800 each?
Yes.
Where are the seats?
That's all the information I can give.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
It's a shady business. It's a shady business, this ticket brokering.
Jesus, $1,800 each.
We could ask, Bruce what's going on and what, he's... let me just
Bruce see. Hall Sports, may I help you?
Hey, Bruce, this is Mike O'Mara. You're on the Don and Mike show. How you doing, Bruce?
Hey, Mike, what are you doing?
I'm just here with my partner who's having a tough time finding tickets for the Super Bowl, and I said I knew a guy that deals in tickets.
Hey, well, Bruce. You can tell by the sound of my voice. I've been on the phone for like a week, so you'll have to bear with me.
Okay, Bruce, nice to meet you. The dick I work for, every year, it's my one perk that I get free tickets. I bring my kid to the game.
Right.
They don't have the tickets yet.
Yeah, what a surprise.
What's a ballpark that you could get me some seats?
Well, first of all, I couldn't even take your order right now, and I'll tell you why. I mean, I've got all my people taken care of. I mean, I put a package together every year. Mike knows a little bit about it. I think we talked briefly when we played golf one day. But, I take a few current NFL players with me, and we do a party and a brunch and the whole nine yards. I got to have, like, a certain amount of seats for all the people on my package. I pre-buy those from all my contacts around the league and from, people who win the lottery and whatever.
So, like, I couldn't buy any from you today right now.
Well, you know what? If you called me tomorrow morning after I do inventory, just because O'Mara called me and you put me on the spot,
right.
I'd do what I could. I'll tell you just a real quick story.
He likes to talk.
People, what's that?
I just said you like to talk.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
Times of the essence.
Hey, I've been on the phone all day, but what I would tell you to do is get my number from Don. And Mike.
From Mike. Okay,
get
you.
It from Mike. And just call me either later tonight, because I got to run out and get a bunch of souvenirs and put my packages together here, like, as we speak. And, or call me first thing tomorrow morning, and I'll tell you. But I can tell you right now, I mean, it's heated up pretty bad. There's really not a lot of tickets. Mike, I don't know if you remember San Diego, or if you went when Denver went.
Huh?
And played Green Bay in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't find a ticket from Tuesday on for less than about $2,800. I mean, it was just a sad situation because there were no
seats.
That's
1,000 people than last guy.
And I can tell you why. It's because everybody in the world knows somebody that lives within 5 hours of here.
All right, listen, Bruce, I appreciate it.
Sure.
I got your number. Thank you very much for
your
time.
Good talking to you. See you, Mike.
All right, bye-bye, Bruce.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay. We try somebody else out of the paper.
Well, wasn't Bruce $1,000 more expensive than the last guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't be calling him back tomorrow.
He's not cheap. I think we're getting a general idea of what it costs to go to the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's truly amazing for one game.
And I'd say to Alan, the longer you wait...
Ticket Solutions.
Yes, hi, Ticket Solutions.
Hey, I want some tickets, too. I want a pair of tickets, too, now. Based on that last conversation.
Do you really?
No, I'm kidding.
This is the Don and Mike show. We're on the radio right now. We're wondering how much a pair of tickets would run us for the Super Bowl. We're doing a little comparison shopping.
Well, let me put you on hold and see if someone can help you.
Thank you.
To create an experience you won't soon forget.
It's a freaking big business.
Yeah,
it?
Don, Rob and I have decided we want to go now. After hearing the prices, we want to go.
Okay, so we want to six?
Yeah, we want four tickets. And we'll be out in front of the stadium on game day.
TicketSolutions.com.
Well, that's okay. You should put your tickets on your credit card.
I don't want tickets.
Online.
I'm not putting all mine.
I want free. I want free tickets.
I'm not putting your tickets on my credit card.
No, I'm leaving town.
Split early, and so does Rob. You guys never stay for the game.
One time I did. I stayed for the hangover, and then came home on Monday.
Oh, that's right. You were just too hungover to come home.
Couldn't make it on time.
Well, this guy's never coming back.
International, sold out or not?
Forget it. Let me call Alan back. Tell him that right now, $1,800 looks like his best offer.
Yeah, but you know what? The only reason I would say talk to Bruce is A, that figure might not be, you know, etched in stone, and B,
Al, line one.
Okay, $1,800 a ticket is the best I've found thus far.
That's not bad. That I think gets you last row in the stadium.
Well, can I tell you where I normally sit?
Next to last row.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Would you like me to have someone run you in the number?
No, as I told Charlie, you know, just have a little faith. I'm working on some things.
Well, listen, I
am not sitting idly by hoping forget about this.
Do I have your word?
You have my word that I'm busting my hump on this.
Does anybody follow why that's not good enough?
I know Alan Limewand. He's not going to give you his word. Not on this, because he's not sure yet that he can get the tickets.
But you have my 100% commitment.
All right, what if I just go ahead and buy them myself, and I turn the expense in?
I wouldn't do that.
Why? I have to make a decision about my kid's school schedule, and I can't wait until the day before the game to make that decision.
See, I'm not asking. I'm just asking you to wait through tomorrow. That's all.
Through tomorrow?
Right.
Okay, which is...
That would be actually 24 hours after we first spoke about it.
But that's not my fault. That's Ken's fault. That's Ken's fault that he didn't... That Ken weaseled out on this 2 weeks ago.
So you are saying you don't care where the seats are?
Have I ever said I care where the seats are?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, we never had that conversation.
No.
I just assumed you cared.
No, I've always had crappy seats.
Well, see, there you go. I didn't know that about you, Don.
Yes, I've never complained. I've always accepted the fact that I get free tickets, and I'm happy just to be there. And my kids happy
like
to be there.
You just like going to the game. I mean, we've sat at that game and with horrible seats, but it's fun just to be there for the experience. We went to Minnesota. We went to Atlanta, the first one in Atlanta.
Yeah, and we would have gone to that one. Your dad passed away.
Pasadena.
At the Rose Bowl.
That's right, absolutely.
Yes. We're not.
It's fun to be there. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, there's so much that goes on there. Being on the 50-yard line ain't that big a deal.
Okay. Well, listen, that gives me a little bit more to work with.
So, can I have your word?
You will have my word that this is the top, believe it or not, this is the top priority on my list right now.
Alan, how tough is it just to say, you have my word, I'll get the tickets? How tough is that? Because I'll give you my word. If you can't give me your word, I'll give you my word. I'm going to spend the money and buy these tickets in the newspaper, and then I'll turn it in.
Well, would you give me your word that you won't do that until you give me a chance to follow through a little bit?
No, I won't give you my word until you give me your word that you can make it happen.
I mean, I'm still waiting to hear back from people. That wouldn't be right.
Why can't you just give me your word that you're going to make it happen? Why is it so tough to make a commitment?
It's not tough to make a commitment. But, you know, there's a lot of this that's out of my control, and I'm truly trying to get this done for you.
Out of your control?
Yeah.
Take a look at the newspaper. Super Bowl, buy and sell. Barry's, Super Bowl tickets in hand now. Golden tickets, Super Bowl, tickets and packages. Murray's, Super Bowl, top dollar paid. Ticket Max.
All right, you know what? That's an avenue I didn't explore yet.
Super Bowl, we've got them. Advantage, Super Bowl, for sale. Super Bowl, prime tickets. Super Bowl, buy, sell, 24/7.
Why isn't it good enough that you know that I'm working on getting you these tickets?
Because trying in this company, it's been our experience.
Well, listen.
Trying doesn't always come
through. Why don't you give me the benefit of the doubt on this?
I'm sorry. Listen, you know what, Alan, you love this mano-a-mano stuff, and I'm saying to you, mano-a-mano.
I said that once, Steve, but that's okay.
Why can't you just say, you have my word, I'll get it worked out. And then I won't say a word. I'll be happy. I mean, not that you should placate me, but I'll take your word as a man.
Well, and I'm trying to give you the best I can right now. And believe me, I'm not done making calls tonight to try to rectify this.
What a puss.
And as soon as I hear something, I will call you.
All right, well, I'm...
I mean, I know that's not good enough for you, but...
I'm gonna have to get them myself.
Well, you don't have to get them yourself.
Yes, I do.
I'm not asking you to do that.
Yes, I do. Because I have to know for my kid. I have to know to make plans to take my kid out of school so that my kid can make plans with his teachers to miss classes. I gotta know. How old are your kids?
My kids?
Yeah.
What do my kids have to do with this?
Tell me, do you have a kid who's a sophomore in high school?
No, I don't. I could only imagine.
Okay. It's a little different than when your kids are going to grade school.
You're right. I that's absolutely true.
So if you can't give me your word, I'll handle it on my own. Thanks. You'll get the purchase order.
I don't want you to do that. I'm just asking you to give me...
I swear to God, I am not being a prick on this.
I'm not being
a prick on this. Why is it so tough to say... You have my word. I'll get it done.
I don't think I've let you down in a lot of ways.
Because the bottom line...
Where you've given me an opportunity. All
this
I'm
is getting ridiculous.
Just give me the opportunity to try to figure this out for you, Don.
No.
No.
You know, the opportunity is that you just say, you know what? Yeah, I'll handle it.
Because really, I mean, if you're looking at it this way, that you're trying your sources, Alan.
Yes.
And those sources are dry and you're not able to do it. And really, as it gets closer to game time, the problem is, and I think I can explain this. The problem is, as it gets closer to game time, those tickets are going to dry up more and more and the price is going to go up. So, I mean,
And if I were to tell you that I was told that that may not be the case as early as tomorrow.
Bull ass.
Okay. Well, I'm not lying to you.
Well, someone's lying to you.
But, I mean, I think what the issue is, I mean, if you give him his word, you know that you'll be able to acquire tickets, even if you have to go to a ticket broker. I think that's what the bottom line is, what he's looking for.
Exactly it.
That's the issue here.
And you can't do it. You can't. Listen to that. Listen to that. Jesus Christ.
I'd rather you not go out and purchase tickets.
But, I mean, if you can't get them through all the methods you try, you may have to. Are you willing to do that?
No, I guess if I can't do that, I guess I'm going to have to write a check to Don.
Well, then why?
Why do you have to write a personal check?
Are you saying because you'll have to pay me if I pay this exorbitant rate? Then why can't you just say, yes, it's handled? Because either way, if you're going to pay me if I go out and buy them, why don't you just buy them?
Because I'd like to at least have the opportunity to figure this out. You're not giving
No.
Well, that's good. I mean, and then you do have the opportunity. But, you know, if it doesn't work out that way, then you give him your word because you'll be able to work it out.
The only reason you want me to give you my word, I think, is because you believe that will force me to absolutely positively get them. And I'm telling
you. Right. Oh, yes. Okay. Exactly.
And I'm telling you that I am doing everything.
You grasp the concept.
Okay. That's called commitment. I understand that.
Right. That's all.
And I'm telling you, I have a commitment to getting you these tickets.
Then why can't you say it?
Why do I have to say it?
Because we don't trust management.
Well,
we never have.
You know, maybe we should try trusting a little bit.
No. No.
I understand I'm on, you know, in the evil empire, and that's unfortunate, but...
You know, how about management tries one time just saying, okay, we'll make it happen. How about it? See? How can you deal with someone like that?
I'm very
serious.
I don't think I'm being unreasonable. I really don't. And you know what?
To some extent,
I don't think you are either.
You're being totally unreasonable. And I'm just going to... You know what? Never mind.
No.
Never mind. I'll get the tickets myself.
My son and I will have a great
weekend.
Don't do that.
I think he might want that.
That's not right.
I hear a smile in his voice.
Hey, you know what? And if that's what he wants, F him.
That's not what I want.
I'll take it over his head to the next level, to the guy who said to me today, The other guy who said to me, who incidentally is just as much a rat bastard, who said, don't worry about it, it'll be handled.
And what?
When did, then how did it get into Alan's lap?
That Ken said he yelled at Alan and told Alan to take care of it.
That's not true, but...
Did Ken tell you to take care of it?
I actually called Ken today, but that's, you know...
No, come on. Ken told me, when I was on the phone with him today, Ken said, I yelled at Alan, Alan's going to take care of this, don't worry about it.
I yelled at Alan?
All
right. I didn't take it as Ken yelled at me.
Okay, listen, you work it out with Ken. I'm telling you what he told me.
Okay, that's fine. I appreciate that.
He said, one way or another, I'll work it out. Ken said, if you have a problem, call me.
But you took his word for it. Take my word for it. I'm handling this. Just take my word for it.
Oh, so you've given your word. Technically, he just gave his word. He said, take my word for it. So you've given your word then.
And which is all I was looking for 20 minutes ago.
That's good. Well, then that's fine.
So just for the record, have you given me your word on this, that you'll work this out?
I gave you my word that I'm working on it, Don.
See, that's...
That's not giving a word.
No, that's not.
You give your word on something more than that. I mean, that's like saying, I give you my word that I'm going to do a good job. Not giving, you know, we're not giving you our word that we're going to get, you know, a 10 share, although we do. You understand?
Well, you know what? You're on for another hour. I'll be here, and I'm working on a couple of things, so...
Well, then if you're working on...
Are you saying that by the end of this today's show, may be prepared to give your word?
That would be absolutely what I'm trying to get done. You think I want to have this on my...
I've worked on this all day today.
Do you think I want to have this on my plate anymore?
He can't make the commitment now to make a commitment an hour from now when the show's over.
Oh, my God.
In the event that you don't work it out, are you going to be able to, an hour from now, if it's not worked out, can you still give your word that it'll get done?
God. It's like, I feel like a pretzel.
Oh, you could make it all go away, Alan.
Why is it so tough?
It's all about semantics.
Why is it so tough?
It's really not tough. I'm just asking you for a chance to work this out.
He loves this. He's like, he is, you know he loves this, but he loves this.
I'm not going to play chicken with this guy.
I'm not. I hate this.
I'm not playing chicken
with this. It's a battle of wills right now over semantics. But you know something? The battle of wills over the semantics of the issue are clouding the more important issue, and they're causing both of us now to question whether you can get this done or not.
And I am willing to give you the benefit of the doubt that you'll get them by hook or by crook. Yeah. All I'm asking for is a simple bond from one man to another where you say, you have my word, I will handle this. And by the fact that
that's true, you know that. I am trying to handle this.
And the fact that you won't say it leads me to believe that there's a chance it won't happen. Okay, thanks. I'll buy him myself. You can take it up with my agent.
Charlie Broyle has just come into the studio.
Is the reason you won't give your word on this because if you give your word and it doesn't happen, you're worried about that?
Well, why else would you not give your word? I mean, you know, hey, listen, there's a lot of things that need to happen here. You just talked to two people who don't even know if they can get you tickets.
No. I talked to two people who can't get me tickets.
One of them told you that he's not even sure he can get you tickets.
That was Mike's friend. The other two guys could.
Well, yeah, I spoke to one or two people today that weren't sure they can get me tickets, and then a couple others that might.
Okay, I tell you
what. So there's a lot of ambiguity here.
I give you my word that we go to commercials, I'll come back looking at these ads in the newspaper, and I will have bought a pair of tickets for the Super Bowl. I give you my word, it will be no problem for me to buy the two tickets. No problem.
No, I'd rather you not do that.
Why?
Why? Because I still have to... I've got two or three people that I really, truly need to speak with. And I'm going to try to talk to them tonight. As a matter of fact, I will talk to them tonight.
This is beyond crap. This is the last thing. Do I have your word or not? Yes or no? Yes or no, do I have your word that you'll work this out?
Tick, tick, tick.
Thanks.
Tick.
Don't worry about it. It's out of your hands. It's out of your hands.
It's not out of my hands.
Goodbye. Jesus. What a puss. You know, I'm not saying go out and spend $5,000 and buy me 250-yard line seats.
Right. Right.
So you're saying spend, you know, it, as a last resort, you know, put it through. That's the one thing a year. You know, usually this is a situation that in years past this has been taken care of a couple of weeks before the game.
Yeah. No, and we asked a long time ago.
Right.
I mean, trust me, this is a big deal in my house with my kid. This is a gigantic deal. This is his week. You know how much he loves going down
right.
there with us.
Right.
This is the whole thing. This is the carrot that we dangle. You
and
know?
I would say you have a decent leg to stand on now if, you know, if you go ahead and do it. What I would do, seriously, is I would wait and then,
I'm not.
You know.
I'm not. I'm just, let's go to break. I'm going to call and buy two tickets. Effing. That's it. How friggin' tough is it just to say, you know, all you would have to say is, you got my word. That one way or the other, I'll work it out.
Right.
I'd like to get him on the cheap. I'd like to get him on a trade. I'd like to get him from a team. I'd like to get him from CBS. If I have to, I'll pay. But listen, by Thursday, you got my word, you'll have the tickets. How tough was that? But he couldn't say it because in the back of his pea brain mind, he's thinking if worst case scenario comes down, he ain't going to do it.
Right.
So fine.
That is the truth. I think that's why the word
fine.
Wasn't given.
I can buy the tickets myself. I can afford it. I'll turn it in and I'll expense it. And then you're going to have your teeth in the ringer about that. But CBS wants to know how come they got to pay, you know, $3,600 for two Super Bowl tickets. That you could have gotten goddamn cheap. Jesus Christ.
This is the way it works.
What a place. Again, you know, all I'm asking for is a commitment from the guy.
That's right.
Said, last row in the stadium,
yep.
Fine with me. Nosebleed seats, fine with me. Give me your word. Silence. You can't give me your word.
You know who I would call?
Who?
If you haven't talked to him already.
Who?
Mike's writing it down. And don't say the name, because I think, you know, I mean...
I don't think...
You might want to make that call.
No, no, here's the thing.
I've got that number if you need that.
He's already told me that he can get me into a suite inside the stadium.
Oh, okay.
But you know what you need to get inside the suite in the stadium?
Tickets.
A ticket.
Mm, okay.
He can't get a ticket.
Shoot.
He's already told me.
Mm.
Thanks for the thought, though. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the fact that you offered me the other guy's phone number. And you tried.
Well, the only thing I was going to say about the other guy, the reason that price is what it is, I don't know about his prices. His prices are very high. But I think that guy, if you are looking for good seats, you know, he can get you good seats.
I mean, I don't care.
And if it's comparable, if it's a comparable playing field.
I don't care. This is freaking ridiculous. I'm sorry to waste your time with this. But look at... And this is the hypocrisy of working for this company.
You know? I mean, all you want is just, hey, you know, this is what it's done every year. You know, it's not like you dropped this on people. You know, this has been
10 years. 10 friggin' years in a row.
And you know, technically, when you're talking about, hey, expensing it, I don't remember a Super Bowl where there hasn't been my TV recap and your at-site game recap after the game, which is... I think pretty damn funny every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, it's not like we, you know, when we go to the game or you go to the game that, you know, we're just going and you're never going to hear anything about it.
You know, Alan, I've noticed you had no problem selling commercials already for our trip to the Super Bowl. He had no problem selling right. Geico insurance. We've been reading the goddamn commercials.
We go down there, do a Friday show. You go to the game, talk about the game. It's, you know, that's part of the deal.
Forget it. I buy the tickets myself. Last you'll hear about it. On the show, at least. Christ.
You'll hear about, hopefully, the Super Bowl after the event.
What an a-hole. Oh, what an a-hole he is. Oh, just give me your word.
I wish I could. Could you give me till tonight?
You know what that means? Let me translate that.
Let me see if I can cheap it out a little more.
Well, the thing is, also...
I don't care if you cheap it out.
The urgency of the situation is that, you know... These guys, like my friend Bruce,
are, you know, they are going to dry up as,
yeah,
as it gets closer. To be honest, this is the nth hour right now.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it really is.
Forget it.
It's not the kind of deal where you decide on a Tuesday that you want to go to the game on Sunday. That doesn't work that
right
way.
Okay. I'll handle this during the break. Thank you. Now let's clear the lines.
That was an interesting little skirmish with management there.
Let's clear the lines and see if we can give away some more of old Honest Al's money.
Yay!
Phone number 877-365-3636.
They're really behind you, right?
We can give you our word that if you are the 100th caller, you'll have a chance at the money with a secret song right now.
Yeah, we give you our word.
That's a
ladies and gentlemen, Alan Limewand has made its way into the studio right now.
Great. Hi, Alan. Yeah, that one's fun. Okay, I thought about it.
A little bit more.
Yeah. And
it's killing him. Hey, but we got to go. Let's go easy on him because I think we might be getting the result we want here.
Yeah, I understand you want a commitment.
Yes. Okay.
Some way, somehow, you'll be going to the game this weekend.
Okay, good.
That's all.
Thank you, Alan.
That's all I'd ask. That's a half hour ago.
Thank you,
that's
Alan.
All I needed
to
hear. But here's the problem. I don't have these in my possession.
Here you go.
Here's the USA Today. There's a page of ads. Knock yourself out.
Thanks for the commitment.
Thank you, though.
Appreciate
that's
it.
All. Alan.
But in the future, if I say I'm going to do something, just leave it at that.
No. I was asking you for you to say you were going to do something.
Hey, Alan. Seriously, and the only reason I think there's the urgency is because of the timetable we're dealing with kids and school. That's why I think under normal circumstances that other thing is good enough. Under these circumstances, it's not because he's got to go home and talk to his family.
So I'm not quite sure the other thing is good enough, but that's okay.
Well, for the future. Well, you know, when I'm working on it, is okay if there's a little lead time. There's no lead time here.
I'm working hard enough on this today to know that there's got to be something. If there's a God out there, it will strike.
Well, no, I don't want to hear that. All I want to hear is just what you just said. Because now you're beginning to backpedal, and I think maybe you leave it at that.
So I'll leave it at that.
You'll make it so.
All right? I have your word?
Word.
I have your word.
Yeah.
I have my word.
There it is!
Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks.
That's right. Nobody enjoys the battle like Alan Limewand.
Thank you.
God, that was tough.
God, what a prick he is.
Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That was difficult.
Yeah.
That was he didn't want to do that. That wasn't easy. That wasn't staged.
And even
the last thing he wanted to do.
Even after he said it, he wanted to give himself some wiggle room.
Oh, my God. He was doing the stutter step backwards.
Jesus Christ.
But, hey, now it's off of you.
Right. Okay.
Man,
gotcha.
We got it on tape.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank goodness. Thank you. Yeah, right. Thank you, Scrooge McDuck. Now, listen, $500 online. Secret song number 4.
Oh, my God.
Great place to work, this is. They really get behind you around here.
That's right.
Be the 100th caller now. Phone number is 877-365-3636.
Finally.
Call 100. We'll give you a shot at the money.
Jesus.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
They are importing more comedy bits from Japan in order to prolong your listening pleasure. It is the radio program of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, let's get to a call 100 right now.
Yeah.
And it's you. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yes, I'm still calling for that number.
Yeah, you're the 100th caller.
You're kidding me.
No, let me think about it.
You're kidding me.
Let me think about it. I don't know.
My golly.
I don't know if I can give you my word on that or not.
Give me your word,
that's
Don.
Oh, man.
Yeah, of course.
I've been listening to the guys for over 15 years. I'm out here in Sacramento now, and yeah, man, that's great.
What's your name, please?
My name is Chris.
Chris, where are you from?
Sacramento right now, yeah.
Okay, Chris, you've won a cell phone. Chris, please turn your radio down.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I got it down.
Okay, you want a cell phone.
Uh-huh.
Courtesy of the cell.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a
clever giveaway.
I just watched that movie last week. It was pretty good.
On DVD and VHS and Gozing.com, the latest in advertising. The cell, rated R. Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, and Vince Vaughn, now available to rent at your local video warehouse location. So please enjoy your free cell phone.
All right, thanks.
And now you will go for $500 with the secret song, a big hit from the 80s. We'll play it for you. You correctly identify the artist in the title, and you win $500.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready, man.
We wish you...
Hey, hey.
Yes.
Please don't answer.
Godspeed, Mike. I was getting to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to dive right in.
Getting to it.
Okay, because I'm excited about this.
Getting to it.
Okay.
Of course, please don't answer until Mike sings live.
Luciano Pavarotti.
Caller, name this secret song.
Love that song. How could you think I would forget that?
Because you were looking over at the machines, and it's been kind of a weird hour.
Just looking at the machines to make sure we're loaded up, and also so I don't forget to say the money is courtesy of Main Street Title.
Yes, sir, mio.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Kind of into that one.
Oh, yeah. For $500, what is the song?
You know what? I'm going to have to go with Jump by Van Halen.
Oh.
Oh, you know that? Isn't that the second guess we've had for Jump?
I think so. Uh-huh. Must be something about that sound.
All right, thank you.
It's stuck in my head, man.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, man.
Don't forget that every guess is a clue for you.
A clue for you. Surprised it got stuck in his head with all that information that's in there.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Just kidding, sir.
Hey,
thanks,
thank you.
Buddy.
Thank you. All right,
buddy. I'm ready to make one of my once-a-week guesses. Can I guess this?
Culture Club, do you really want to hurt me?
That's not it. Okay.
Absolutely not.
Right. Time always for... Culture Club with you, buddy.
Yeah, every time. Me and Boy George.
Time for news and comments.
Yeah.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Where's Buzz?
He made it up.
And the lead story has to be...
Yes?
I'm going to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
The headline is Alan Gives His Word.
Yes, okay. Now, what's your real headline story tonight, Buzz?
The real headline is The Fugitive Manhunt Narrows.
Oh, do they catch more of the two?
I'd rather not say just yet.
Oh, you tease.
Yes, exactly.
You tease. You news tease.
That's why they call it a tease.
Okay, but please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
For news and comments.
Coming up.
Coming
on
up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
I don't know, Don. Professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word with Planet Crackpot?
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
And now, here's Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Police in Colorado have stepped up their search for the two Texas fugitives still on the run. Today, a restaurant worker found a van in a motel parking lot. Inside were maps and men's hair coloring, among other things. Authorities are convinced it's the van used by the escaped convicts. The van was found about 20 miles from where four of the escapees were arrested yesterday and where near a fifth killed himself. The FBI says the convicts were planning on fighting rather than surrendering. The Bureau says it found 35 loaded and cocked weapons in the RV the convicts had been using. President Bush put forth another part of his agenda today, school vouchers. The new president unveiled his education plan today, and school vouchers are very much a part of it. But Bush says he's not married to the idea. He says he just wanted to send it to Capitol Hill and, quote, let folks debate it. Bush says the biggest part of his plan focuses on performance. He wants annual testing for students and teachers, and he wants public schools held accountable for their failures.
Geronimo! As long as they spell your name right, babe, don't sweat it.
That was not the right tape, no.
Oh, what'd you want?
The tape of President Bush says Bush on the label.
Oh, got you right here.
We had a 2-foot-long male organ waved at us.
He didn't say that, did he?
That's a woman speaking. And
here it is, really.
They're looking for the president.
I love goofing around. Here he is.
It's time to summon now the evil
spirit. That's a good one.
You're getting very warm.
Okay. Now, this time, here is George Bush.
Okay. What you see is what you get with females for hire.
It's not the president.
No, all right. No.
It's not the best president I've ever had.
It's almost a letdown when we finally do play the real tape. But before I play the tape of George Bush, really,
right.
Let me play the tape of Mike introducing George Bush.
Oh, very good.
At the golf tournament.
That's terrific.
A little earlier, President George Bush was back at the President's Cup.
To determine the honor, the 41st President of the United States, George Bush.
Without yearly testing, we don't know who is falling behind and who needs help.
Bush says if schools don't live up, they'll lose their federal funding. No California team is in the Super Bowl, but officials in that state are urging folks there to have Super Bowl parties because of the electricity shortage.
Oh, my God. Oh, come on. It's that bad?
It's that bad. One official says a lot of people around one set is better than having a lot of sets on. When you total the ratings from L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, and Sacramento, you know that over 8 million Californians watched last year's game. Officials are urging Survivor fans to watch in groups as well for the same reason.
Turn your TVs off because we don't have a...
Wow.
How ridiculous is that?
I feel for those people.
Yeah, it is
rough. I swear to God. There are going to be some people out in the streets pretty soon.
Yeah,
I mean, this is nasty.
There's going to be a lot of people moving here.
Really?
We don't need that either.
I mean, you got, you know, first of all, you got your floods, your earthquakes, your mudslides and everything else.
Right.
Now, lack of electricity.
There was a flicker of good news today for the electrically poor people of California. This was the eighth straight day of a Stage 3 power alert. But there were no rolling blackouts today, and the traffic signals stayed on. That's because the state power officials found some electricity for sale elsewhere in the Northwest. Also today, President Bush, who wasn't expected to get involved in the power crisis, ordered a two-week extension of President Clinton's federal order that lets California utilities buy more power, even though they have no credit.
It's going to be okay, because Allen said he'd buy them electricity.
He gave them his word.
Gave him his word.
He gave him his word.
Giants coach Jim Fossil this week gave his players a list of places they cannot go in Tampa. Strip clubs like Mons Venus.
Mons Venus.
Are on that list.
That's where Rudy Marchke is right now.
I'm sure. Ravens coach Brian Billick gave his players no such instructions.
What a great guy he is.
Yes, indeed. Despite a warning from the NFL that Super Bowl players should stay out of Tampa strip clubs, a couple of Baltimore players have already been to Mons Venus. One of them even struck up a conversation with one of the dancers.
Was it Saragusa?
No. Defensive ends Michael McCrary and Rob Burnett were both seen at the club and left as soon as they were approached by a reporter for the New York Daily News. Quoting their coach, as long as they act like men, I'll treat them like men.
Good luck.
I always love that, too. It's a great promotion.
Well, Dan Kaler says he has been practicing 2 hours a day, but if he misses, he still gets the free trip to Tampa and a $10,000 consolation prize. Not bad.
You'll get more than I get. Buzz, hold on. We got to do this. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm the one telling you how it is.
For those who serve, the Don and Mike Show.
Well, we got to change this emergency music. We got the music. And then we got the emergency tapes that didn't have the music ready. And this is the emergency music. It's an emergency that we're playing Britney Spears.
Yeah,
that's the emergency. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A guy who says he was hit in the eye by a T-shirt is suing the Florida Marlins. The shirt was shot into the stands with a cannon by the team's mascot, Billy the Marlin.
Hey, it's Billy the Marlin.
Billy. Saul Schechter says the shirt hit him in the left eye and knocked him out. Now he says he has...
Oh, the cotton was so hard against my skin.
My eye.
Aye.
Says he has blurred and double vision now. And he wants at least $15,000 in damages.
Of course he does.
The Marlins have already lost $2 million lawsuits filed by spectators hit by baseballs during batting practice.
Wait a minute. Isn't that on the back of your ticket? It's on the back of your ticket. You don't have to. They really lost money because
you might be right. There might be some kind of disclaimer.
There is a disclaimer on every baseball ticket.
I don't know about the Florida Marlins.
And hockey tickets, too. That's interesting. I'd love to find out about
that. They lost a couple of cases. The team has no comment on this latest lawsuit. Wonder if Mr. 40 knows how close he came today, how close he came to not being able to buy just a 40 in the district.
Right.
The D.C. Council today voted down a proposal that would have banned the sale of single containers of beer or malt liquor.
Well, that would not have stood with Mr. 40.
No way. Some folks wanted the change, convinced it would discourage underage drinking and loitering. The council also voted to let the city's strip clubs move downtown so long as they aren't 1,000 feet from each other or 600 feet from a school. Five clubs may have to relocate when the Navy Yard is redeveloped. The council voted not to let any new strip clubs come to town. They did that to keep the owners of New York Scores from opening a club here. Although scores attract celebrities, its employees in New York have been found to have mob connections.
Right, right. There's no mob connections at scores. I said there's no mob connections at scores. Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
What?
Kind of working into it.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
It didn't start out as Tony Soprano. Now it's Tony Soprano. It started out as just a generic mafia guy.
Who are you?
Sounds just like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Jackson. That's still sticking in my craw.
Yeah,
F you, pal.
Let us go.
I can't. You know, it's my living.
Let us go.
F you. I'll put lime on your body. I'll put you in a hole, pal.
Let us go.
Creep didn't know he was on the air talking to us. F you.
Bozo's sidekick is dead.
Other Mayaka Faye.
Roy Brown, who played Bozo the Clown's friend Cookie on the live-action kid show, has passed away at the age of 68.
Right.
He had heart trouble. The character first appeared on the show in 1968. He retired in 94.
Nothing cracks Spiewak up more than the death of a clown.
Bozo's Circus and the Bozo Show originated from Chicago's WGN-TV, but was carried on cable around the country for decades.
Is he going to be cremated?
I don't think so.
Cookies and cream.
No, I was going to say, because that's the way the cookie crumbles.
All right. Get out of here.
He will be missed.
Shecky.
Get out of here.
Jesus. Fellow CBS Infinity Westwood One broadcaster G. Gordon Liddy did not appear to fare well yesterday in a lawsuit against him. Liddy has long claimed that the Watergate break-in was aimed at getting the dirt on a prostitution ring at Democratic headquarters. He has said that one of his sources for that theory was Philip Macklin Bailey.
Don, baby, how's it going?
Bailey is a disbarred lawyer who took the stand yesterday and talked about people dressed as witches chasing him through the mountains near Seattle. Bailey also spoke of hallucinating that he was a space alien waiting for his ship to take him back to the planet Alpha Centauri.
Right.
Liddy is being sued by a woman who was a secretary for the Democratic National Committee back then.
Remember, we covered this now. Those of you who listened,
right,
we discussed this earlier. I'm glad Buzz has it during the news, but we covered the story earlier and got the full wrap-up
right
from G's son, Tom Liddy.
Who's yeah, that's kind attorney. Of the other side of that this is the guy that defended some of these prostitutes
right.
And that he was kind of a pathetic figure up there.
Pathetic pig. The secretary says Liddy's theory defamed her by accusing her of setting up sexual liaisons with hookers. Deli owner Rupert G. and souvenir hucksters Sarah Jewell and Mujibur are being run out of their businesses
good.
In the building that houses the man who made them famous.
Good.
CBS, which bought the...
Are you tired of them? Totally. Absolutely, they are not funny anymore. Especially the Rupert G. guy. He is not funny.
Is that the guy with the Hello Deli?
Yeah, exactly.
CBS, which bought the Ed Sullivan Theater for David Letterman in 1993, is raising the rent for the businesses that line the sidewalk around the building. Oh, it's the phone. Maybe you ought to get that.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Lumpy and tasteless.
The raising of the rent is forcing out some of the businessmen Letterman made famous on his show. Quoting Dave, the greedy, money-grubbing landlord said, "Well, we're doubling your rent. Joe's Pizza Shop and a photocopy store have already been pushed out."
Yeah, Dave, the people's friend.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Dave who could take some of that $14 million he's making a year,
right.
You know, and make the difference up. No, Dave... People's friends.
Sure.
Rupert G. and Sarah Jewell and Mujibur are next. CBS has no comment.
Dave, friend. Be like Dave, people's friend. Dave.
Dave, no help with rent.
Oops. Scientists in Australia trying to make a contraceptive for mice say they have accidentally created a killer virus that could also be deadly to humans.
But the goodness is... It'll fit Alan Limewand.
The researchers were trying to stop the growth of the mouse and rat population by attacking a gene in their immune system.
You see, that's because mice have very small penises and
sure.
Virtually no balls.
Humans have a similar gene, but whether the virus is deadly to us remains to be seen.
Get to know Charlie.
No. This will kill him. Joe, we've killed all the mice now.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I screwed up again.
Accidents happen. We can learn.
Kill my...
Aside from being easy on the eyes, you got to like Elizabeth Hurley for her love of monkeys. She must. She named her production company Simian Films. But she also fights for monkey rights. Hurley says monkeys are forced to work at the various tourist stops in the Mediterranean.
She was just on the phone with Charlie Broyles. She's very upset about the way he was screaming at him a couple hours ago.
What did he say?
Well, he said...
Charles Broyles.
Hello, Charlie. This is Elizabeth Hurley. I heard those pigs yelling at you. You should not have to cater to their every whim. It's not your job to get them Super Bowl tickets. And how is your diarrhea? Oh, dear boy. I know. I'm here for you, Charlie.
Elizabeth Hurley speaks to Charles Broyles.
I know, Charlie. I know. I know it hurts when you go poos. I know. No, you shouldn't have to go down the hall and ask him for a Super Bowl ticket. That's right. Yes, yes, Don's an a-hole.
That's right.
I agree. Yes, me love you too.
Yes.
Oh. Yes, I see that, Charlie.
He likes the ladies.
I know you're very proud of that. Put that back in the barn.
Oh, you put it back in the barn violently.
Hurley says these monkeys are forced to work at tourist stops in the Mediterranean and that they're drugged to make them calm and friendly. Unlike what you're hearing now.
You're hearing now the Broyles family reunion.
Here they all are.
Sweet gathering. Say the Lord's Prayer.
Right. Wow.
Before they have their picnic lunch.
Before they eat dinner. With their hands.
And wait till they dive in. There they go.
It's when the biscuits come out. Somebody pass the rolls. You're going to hear. That's Charlie now getting kind of high pitched.
Yeah, right. Right.
Wow. Yeah. They like their carbohydrates in that family.
They sure do.
Very good.
They sure do. Elizabeth Hurley says these monkeys are forced to work at tourist stops in the Mediterranean, that they're drugged to make them calm and friendly. And quoting her, most of the chimps are heroin addicts. There's more.
Oh. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
There's more. Liz says when they go around on roller skates, a lot of them have had at least two of their toes cut off to get into the skates.
It makes them angry again.
Charlie's not happy about that.
He's
only got eight toes.
Oh, no. But boy, can he roller skate.
So Elizabeth Hurley's been talking up a rehab center for drug-addicted chimpanzees located just off the coast of Africa. It's called Spider Island.
One more, Buzzy.
The month of December is the biggest month of the year for most retailers, but at electronic stores, the big month is January. That's when they sell the most TVs. Big screen TVs fly out the door this time of year, especially the week before the Super Bowl. Tube televisions, 32 inches and bigger, and especially projection TVs, are selling five times faster than they do any other time of the year. Even the sale of expensive high-definition sets are up, but folks are still shying away from those overall because of the price and the uncertainty about the technology.
All right, thank you, Buzz. You're back. For my money, my favorite story was about cutting off the monkey's toes so that they could fit to the roller skates.
What a horrible thing to say.
Yeah. So we thank you,
you bet,
for the news and the comments.
All right.
Find out for a call 100, a prize package we've selected especially for you. Call Lisa. She's standing by. Just get to call 100 at 877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Show me breath. Yes.
Soothing your severe buttock trauma. The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, we never got to it today. Tomorrow we got to start the show off with a Homo Joe inauguration thing.
Yes, this is a little, it's got a shelf life. It's getting a little salmonella.
Yeah, also tomorrow we got to talk about the $1,000 giveaway on Thursday.
Ooh.
When we're going to have a contest to see what people can put into their various holes of their body and see if we can guess what you've got inside you. Also tomorrow, a call to the Museum of Death.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow.
So a big show lined up for you tomorrow. And Chuck Stossel.
Museum of Death?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Found a place that,
great.
That, for instance, has Liberace's cat.
Wow.
Which has been stuffed.
Fantastic.
They also have John Wayne Gacy's self-portrait as a circus clown.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah. Lots of, and what else they got, Robbie?
They have the shroud from the Heaven's Gate culture.
Really?
Yeah. They said they had to launder them 5 times because they smelled of decomposition.
Oh, that's a recent artifact.
Yeah. So that's on tomorrow's show.
Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, the Boston Red Sox and catcher Scott Hatteberg have avoided salary arbitration and agreed to a 1-year deal worth just over $1 million. Hatteberg batted .265 with 8 homers for the Bo Sox last season.
Don't forget our bet.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to shave my head if the Red Sox don't make it to the World Series.
Right.
That's going to be one of the legendary dumb moves I've made on this show.
A Baltimore prosecutor has dropped the domestic abuse case filed against New York Mets closer Armando Benitez by his former girlfriend. The woman accused Benitez of punching and scratching her in October and slamming a door against her during an argument a month later. The Washington Redskins have fired Vinny Serrato, director of player personnel, for the past 2 seasons. The upcoming college draft will be administered by
really?
Ron Ney.
What am I going to do without old Bug Eyes?
Head of the Redskins NFL scouting program.
Sign him up to star in the Marty Feldman story.
Such a nice man.
Skins coach Marty Schottenheimer still surrounding himself with familiar faces. Mike Stock joins the organization now as special teams coach. Marty's son Brian is, as expected, the new offensive assistant. And Dave Redding is the strength and conditioning coach. All three worked with Marty during his years in Kansas City.
Ah, Vinny fell on the sword.
Yeah.
Ah, we hardly knew ye.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, you prick.
Useless prick.
He really was. He was a tool.
I know.
He was a tool. Walked around with his nose half an inch from Snyder's ass.
And still got fired.
Yeah, well, of course he did. What's Snyder going to do, fire himself?
Hey, it's a Marty party now.
Yes,
and I'm enjoying the Marty party.
It's Mardi Gras.
Finally, the transition from the Clinton administration to the new Bush administration was generally smooth and friendly, but the Clinton people did leave behind one practical joke. They removed or disabled the W keys on a lot of the computer keyboards in the old executive office building.
I think this is cool. You never hear about people doing this in politics.
Dozens, maybe hundreds of keyboards have been affected. Some merely had the W blacked out. On others, the key was missing entirely. And on still others, the key was there, but the spring-loaded switch beneath it was missing. End result, no one in the new administration could type the new president's middle initial. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it. I know you wish we could stay.
Yeah.
And God knows I do, too. That's it. We're out. We will be back tomorrow with the all-new episode, including all the stuff that we didn't get to today. And we got to start the contest tomorrow. The, you know, put something up there and let us try to figure out what it is contest.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm caller 100.
Yes, you are, my dear. What's your name?
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth, hi. Where are you calling from?
From Stafford, Virginia.
Mary Beth, good news. You've won tickets to the WWF SmackDown.
That'll be fun.
I hope you like the wrestling.
My husband's son will.
See over 40 of your favorite WWF... Oh, stepmother. See over 40 of your favorite WWF stars live at MCI Center March 6th. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 through the box office and Ticketmaster outlets. And for you, how about a cell phone?
That sounds good.
Okay, good. Cell phone courtesy of the Cell on DVD and VHS. Also sponsored by GoZing.com. Cell, now available to rent at your local Vudio warehouse.
Vudio
location. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening, and thank you, everybody, for all the great calls today. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode. You have my word on that. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, pal.
You know, work on that one.
Oh, that's a piece of cake.
Work on that one.
That's a piece of cake, pal. I'd
like to make him a regular.
No problem,
Al.
There you go. Congratulations, Al.
And Rob, please throw your Santa Claus hat in the air, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore. You might just make it as you want.
my left. I'm sorry. I'll
let me get it right.
That's right.
All right. See ye tomorrow.
So long, pal.
Bye-bye. You have my word on it.
Until we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.